This is PFW in Progress.
They tell you all the time what to do, what to think, what to feel. Do you want to be like a chief, like all those other people, man?
Do you want to work 8 to 10 hours? You own nothing? You got nothing? Do you know I eat octopus 3 times a day? How do you like that?
I'm a political prisoner, and I want my human right. Now, just like the president, Jimmy Carter says.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Why don't you try sticking your head up your ass? See if it fits.
Paul Perillo.
You're 50, you got a bag for a belly, they got hair on them, you got a liver, they got spots on it, and you're a junkie. Sleeps all day with them black chains on, wakes up with a quaalude.
And Andy.
You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Andy Hart.
So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
Some guy named Tom.
Let's get this straight. All I have in this world is my balls and my word. And I don't break them for no one. You understand?
PFW in Progress.
You want to play rough? Okay. No. Say hello to my little friend.
Adam, why are you giving me the wave? Gary told me to start.
I know, but you weren't on.
Why wasn't I? Am I not on?
You're on now.
My button's on.
This is a Gary Gradecki production.
There you go. Took you very little time. Wow. I got all kinds of trouble.
Time to screw up.
I got all kinds of trouble with Jake Steele's microphone as well.
And we can't make fun of Fred anymore.
Of course you can.
Just as bad without him here as it is with him here.
All I know is Gary told me to start, and I started. I don't know what you were looking for.
Buses are coming at Gary left and right these days.
I'm not throwing it at Gary. I think
sounded like you were.
I think I'm throwing it back at you two.
You never responded to me, so I waited for you.
Oh, there you go. Well, next time, you know. Now I guess I am throwing it at Gary.
Yeah, you are.
All right. I wasn't before, but now I am. Anyway, we got a lot going on here. PFW in Progress.
Yes, we have breaking news.
Not for a lack of story.
There are little black trucks that say Motorola Communications Center in the tunnel outside the Patriots locker room. Fred always likes us to update people on the inner workings. And those are the headsets, right, Gary?
I don't think so.
Oh, what are they?
I think that might be for Jimmy Buffett.
No. They were on the sideline last home preseason game behind the bench. I believe they are upgraded headset command centers. Remember, it used to be like a little upright thing? Now it looks like a mini Zamboni. It's probably 10 feet long and 4 feet wide. And I believe it's...
Yeah, I did check them out, but I thought they were for Jimmy Buffett. I guess not.
What would Jimmy Buffett do?
That's the breaking news?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was the shot that Vrabel took on Caldwell in the locker room.
That's true. Why don't you relate that story while Paul is
Vrabel was talking, and there's a bunch of media people there, and someone asked about not the Jets specifically, but teams bringing in other players, and if you could learn from them. And he said, Andy,
Richey barely knew our offense.
So I guess that means Richey's not coming back anytime soon, it doesn't look like.
Certainly not to room with Mike Vrabel on the road.
Yeah, and you know what? It was he said it laughing and joking, but I don't think there was a whole lot of joking nature to it.
Truth in every joke.
And I don't think there was a whole lot of, I don't think it was really meant to be much of a joke.
No, because he says that answers that question. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, that wrapped up, yeah, that put an end to the first throng of media. Then he kind of talked to a few other people onto the side. But, yeah, I think while he said it laughingly, there was a 80% truth in it, more than 80% joking.
All right, so as you can tell, it's Paul, Andy, and Tom here, minus Jake Steele for the Wednesday edition of PFW in Progress. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's a pretty important time of year. I mean, the season opener is just a couple days away. We'll be down at the Meadowlands, take on the Jets, and Jake Steele decides to take a show off. I don't know. You guys tell me. I think it's
a
pretty important time.
We have to make the picks, too.
We have picks.
Promoting the predictions.
We have, we have picks to make, predictions to make.
I forgot your paper. Gary, call the leg. Tell him to bring Paul's
paper. Nah, he's going out to practice anyway, so I'm not sure if and when he'll be down here. But
let's be honest. No one cares about his predictions.
And no one really cares, in general. Let's call
They love us.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. Is the A-team now expanded?
We're kind of a big deal.
Have we expanded Tom into the A-team?
Thanks. I appreciate it.
It's going on his resume, right up there with Nick's Rule. Yeah, Nick's Rule.
Everything else on my resume is a big lie. Might as well put this too.
All right, so let's get a couple of the bookkeeping items underway. First of all, if you want to join in the show, PFW in Progress, obviously, webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. You can send us an email. Phone number, 508-543-7482. We got a lot of stuff going on in a short amount of time. Now, since our last show, obviously the major news that overshadows everything is Rodney Harrison's four-game suspension for violating the performance-enhancing substance abuse policy for the NFL. Not be allowed here at the facility. Will not be allowed to have any contact for the next month.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Not much, Rodney.
Apparently his testosterone.
So we'll try as hard as we can not to take any of those kinds of gratuitous shots, but
we'll fail as we always do.
Well, we all like Rodney.
I was going to say, in all seriousness, we are all affected by this because we all like Rodney, and it obviously hurts a lot more when it's a guy that you feel like you have, even though we don't know these guys all away from the field, we feel like we know him.
And he's one of the best guys that tried to get to know us,
you know, and to say things a little bit.
He's one of the guys that says, you know, says hi to Andy, hi to Tom, hi to Paul. And we like that. You know, we like the personal interaction. Let's face it, we're all shallow people and we're all egomaniacs. So when one of the players actually treats us like a regular person, and we like that. And we have an affinity for Rodney, so this disappointed us.
And if you could list the guys in the locker room that you wish this didn't happen to, he'd probably be one of the ones because he is such a nice guy.
The fact is the fact. He did it.
He did it. We can't excuse that.
And we're not going to take, you know, and I'm sure we're going to get excuses today, but we're not going to take excuses because, you know, in the past when other guys have done it, when Julius Peppers did it a few years ago, we were all over him. Doesn't mean he's not a great player. Sean Merriman did it last year.
Doesn't mean he's a terrible human being, axe murderer.
No. Doesn't mean he cheated in his business. Exactly. And I also, and Tom has been outspoken about this off the air, and I'll let you speak for yourself, Tom, but the apology, you know, although was admirable, he stood up and admitted it. He also included a number of excuses along with it, I felt.
Yes.
I think Tom feels the same.
HGH is stronger than steroids.
Right.
It is a performance-enhancing drug. Anyone else who thinks differently is not informed. It's not a cortisone shot.
And regardless of what you pretend or think you're taking it for, maybe he was well-intentioned and said, I'm taking it to recover. That doesn't mean you didn't get any benefit from it other than your scar healed faster.
He got bigger,
you got a lot of benefits.
He got faster. He got stronger. Listen, I hate to say it, but we all insinuated this up in the office. He looked like he was 24 years old out there. I mean, this wasn't hard to predict. I mean, we didn't think he'd get caught because they don't test for HGH. But when a 34-year-old man has two knee injuries, comes back from them, and looks like he's 24, you can put the pieces of the puzzle together
and
there.
The other issue is he got caught. He didn't come forward and say, something's been bothering me for 2 years now. I need to come out and say this. I need to be suspended. He got caught, and when they asked him about it, he told them the truth.
Right. And we think 2 years.
We don't know for sure.
That's what he has admitted to.
But Paul pointed out yesterday that San Diego thought he was done. Now, we don't know how far this could go back and everything, so it's a very dicey situation. But I would seriously doubt that he just used it to get his knee better,
We have no idea, but that's part of the thing he now faces forever, is people will question everything he's ever done.
Right, and that's, you know, the outside stuff, that counts. You know that perception. Andy, you brought up, you know, he's been a guy that people have tossed around for possible Hall of Fame consideration.
But this now affects every part. You know, people look at it. He's a guy that seems like he loses it on the field at times and crosses lines. You know the joke they're going to say, roid rage. You know, now permeates everything he does moving forward and has ever done. And if indeed he only took it for a set period of time, that's unfortunate, but that's the risk he was willing to take.
And that's what happens. If you're considered a dirty player.
I don't want to speculate. You play the little why would he do it game. I think that's pretty simple. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. He was a successful player who had a major injury at an age when he probably couldn't come back for it. These guys have trouble dealing with the end. The career's over. There's insecurity there.
I would do it. We were upstairs today.
No question. I
don't play football. I just lift weights. And if I didn't have diabetes, I would have been sticking a needle in me a long time ago. I know I would have because I'm
a
weak man.
You haven't.
Well, I haven't. I would tell you.
I'll wait till a DA comes to me with information on you.
I'm a weak human
Albany
being.
County.
And I would.
Yeah, where are you from? Are you from upstate New York?
I'm
is that near Albany?
Way. I might be involved with the business, but I. But so I totally understand why he did it, but Andy, you and I were two people that we didn't care when Merriman got suspended and all that stuff because we know it's going on. We know there's other players in that locker room doing it, but that doesn't excuse the fact that he did it.
And the problem is, He was bad at it.
And yeah, he used his name, home address,
credit card. And the paper trail was direct.
If he wants to cheat, he should talk to me because he's doing a terrible job of it.
Yeah, there's a few Rodney specific emails that I'm going to read early in the show before we kind of move on. But the part of it that's kind of the part of the reaction that's kind of bothered me. And again, we prefaced the whole thing, but we all three of us, I don't think, could have much more regard for Rodney the person because we've all enjoyed talking to him. And, you know, he comes on our show every year at the golf tournament, you know, sits down with us, not like it's an imposition or like, you know, he doesn't want to do it. He does it because he seems like he enjoys it.
He's one of the few players since I've been here that takes that extra step to help you out. And
so we know why he's always a candidate to win the long drive contest.
There you go. But this isn't, you know.
That was one of those cheap shots, right, that you said we weren't going to take.
Right. We're going to try. I said we're going to try.
Sorry, Rodney.
And we're going to try not to take him anyway. But, you know. I didn't hear a lot of people saying that most of the rest of the league is doing the same thing when Sean Merriman got caught last year. And I hear that a lot now. I agree. We all agree that this is a major, major problem in sports today. It's a major problem in the NFL, and it's a major problem in the Patriots locker room. I can't sit here and tell you for a fact which players do, which players don't. That's irresponsible, and quite frankly, I'd lose my job.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit there and speculate as to who's doing it without any proof. But we all know, and none of us is naive, so we all know that this is a problem in the NFL. So to just stick there and say, let's defend Rodney and say, well, there's so many other people doing. We didn't do that for Julius Peppers. We didn't do that for Sammy Morris when he was in Miami. We didn't do that for Sean Merriman. And we didn't do that for, is it Sean Rogers in Detroit?
Yeah.
All the other guys. There's a million other guys that have gotten suspended, and we laugh at them all. All of a sudden, one of ours gets suspended, and we said, well, the rest of the league is doing it, too. And I have a problem with that.
And let's be honest and look at it the way we've looked at it all along. We've known about HGH, the fact that it was undetectable, the fact that it has been scientifically proven to help people recover from injuries much faster. And we had off-the-air conversations way back when, not just Rodney Harrison, but as we see a stretch of guys over the last three,
Dante
4 years,
Culpepper, all those guys when
that
they were
come
back
from, there wasn't too long ago, we're talking within the last 5 years, that an ACL was a major, major surgery. Now there's guys coming back from triple ligament tears in under a calendar year. I'm sorry, but there's a red flag there that just pops up.
That's a good
and as
point,
a, as an observer, you just have to say, I kind of wonder if
Carson's
on
Palmer,
the up and up here.
All these guys that are Palmer, Harrison, Culpepper, and the whole thing that, well, he did it to get better. I remember a running back of the name of Billy Sims, who was a great player. I'm sure you remember him, Paul.
Of course.
He hurt his knee Well, I didn't know if you...
I've heard of him.
I'm just assuming that you never heard of him.
I know you've
heard
of him, but
heard
I don't know
him.
If you've seen him play. That was
don't know anything
point.
About the story about to tell. That's why I'm going to listen.
Well, no, he suffered a knee injury that pretty much ended his career. In today's football, there'd be nothing. But you know what happened? He couldn't play anymore, so he had to retire. So if Harrison, the whole thing, well, I just wanted to get back on the field. Well, if you can't play anymore, then you have to retire. That's how the rules state it. So you cheated if you even took it just to get back. It's cheating any way you look at
it. And I kind of looked at it in two different ways, too. We talked about how surprised, and I think we all, and I'm not lying here, we all had this conversation way back the first day of training camp last year. Mm-hmm. Well, not the very first day, but it was within the first week that he was activated from PUP and started practicing. We all looked at each other and said, something ain't right here.
Right.
We had this conversation off the air again because,
it's
irresponsible to do it on the air, and God knows on this show we've been irresponsible enough with some of the other things that we've gotten
into. It wasn't just Harrison. It was when we heard that Culpepper was starting the season.
That whole
Palmer
off-season.
Was starting the season.
Remember,
we were
we would be reading stories all around the league about Culpepper doing this and Palmer doing that and Rodney doing this, and we were saying to all the optimistic, you know, just temper the enthusiasm. It takes a long time. It's a medical procedure that takes about a year. And we were ended up being wrong, but this is why we were wrong.
Which, by the way, we are not saying or insinuating in any way
that the other
that
guys,
the other guys
it.
That we have no knowledge of did do
it. Oh, right.
We're just saying in this era we live in,
it raises a red flag.
You have to acknowledge the possibility.
So in that regard, I would say I'm not surprised that this happened, but when news came down Friday night that it happened, I was stunned. Because I just wasn't expecting.
Actually, you called and left me a voicemail saying, we are really smart.
Yeah. I did.
But the whole thing.
At which point I knew nothing about it.
But I figured you did. Yeah, you don't know much about those things. You don't watch TV and stuff.
Where were you Friday
night? He's watching the Discovery Channel, probably.
Probably.
Paul and I, we work for a living, even from our home.
There you go, Tom. I love how he hitches the wagon to whichever one of us benefits.
But the thing, Andy, I mean, Andy, you and I, we have about 25 years combined of weightlifting experience, and I've been reading things that...
So if all together, we're looking at about 26
yeah.
years.
Oh, I was going to say 25.
But, so, all these things that this is different from steroids, blah, 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 it's all crap. It's all semantics. This stuff is as good a steroid as you can get. And the people who are on steroids now would be taking it, except it's $1,000 a cycle,
right.
And not everyone can afford it.
Your average Joe at Gold's Gym who wants to be big cannot, A, get his hands on it as easily, and B, afford it as easily because it is significantly more expensive. You know why it's more expensive? Because it works better.
All right, let me get to a couple of these Rodney emails here that came in over the course of the weekend.
Add one more thing real
sure.
quick?
Go ahead.
Just want to say, one of the common things is, and Tom and I sort of agree with this, in that we don't really care if guys take drugs or not. You can legalize them, whatever. And I heard radio talk shows, well, why doesn't the NFL just legalize them all? Because I think Congress would get mad because they're illegal, not
right.
by NFL rules.
Thank you.
By United States of America rules.
And that's the thing, Andy. I keep hearing, well, HGH will probably be legal someday. It's not legal now.
Right.
Marijuana may be legal someday. It's not legal now. My friend got caught with some, spent some time in jail. That's
friend?
The way it works. Well,
you're going with friend?
No, I mean a guy I used to know. This was a while ago.
Why is he making those air quotes when he says friend?
What are you talking about?
I'm just
saying, though, most people say, well, marijuana, that's not a big deal. Sorry, it's illegal. The government told
HGH
me it was.
HGH is illegal?
It's illegal.
Is illegal, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot
unless
of people don't think it is, I'll tell you that.
Unless it's prescribed by a doctor to take for... Now, here's a good point, Paul. Someone I know had a problem with their lungs. They had a disease that was very bad. And they kept getting down to like 80, 90 pounds. So he was prescribed HGH so he could get some weight on, get bigger, that type of thing. That's what it's used for in the medical profession. It's not used to help you recover from a knee injury. I'm sorry. That's not what it's for.
Okay, that's not what it's for.
And Wade Wilson's excuse was a joke. I mean, you know me, being a diabetic.
And even the way he excused it, saying he didn't think he was doing anything illegal and wrong.
Yeah.
Well, then why was your wife the only person who knew, and you were buying it through a shady internet company and a doctor who you've never seen?
I know.
Instead of, I don't know, I think you work for an NFL team. I think they have the availability to send you to a pretty good doctor who could prescribe it for you if it wasn't illegal.
Yeah, he, in my opinion, is an absolute scumbag because now he's just making up lies, and he's obviously covering for either one or more players that he bought that stuff for, and that's a disgrace in my opinion.
All right, this first one is from John. He says, I'm disappointed in Rodney Harrison. He made a bad choice. That said, I have to say that I've been wanting to see him play like he has in the past. I have been very happy seeing him look like himself again this preseason. The temptation to do whatever it takes to get past the injuries he has sustained the past few seasons must have been overwhelming, especially on this team and for a guy whose spirit and drive had recently been let down by his body. He broke the rules. He is receiving his deserved punishment. What he did was wrong. I do not support it, but I sure as hell understand why he did it. I am having trouble condemning him. I just can't see this as the same thing that guys like Sean Merriman and Barry Bonds have done.
Well, then you're wrong.
It's the
dead
same
wrong.
Thing.
Same thing.
I agree with the whole paragraph until that last sentence.
Right.
Yeah.
I was actually going to cut in and say, as long as you've treated every other situation this way, because it's not just the pressure on this team and this locker room with this injury. It's the pressure in all of sports.
He understands his hypocrisy. He finishes out, Rodney is still one of my favorite players, and I still do not want to see him. And I still want to see him flying around knocking people down like he always has. Would I feel this way if it were Donovan McNabb? Probably not. Maybe that makes me just as guilty. Maybe I'm a hypocrite or just a homer. Maybe that says more about me than it does about him. I just want Rodney back, and that's JJ and
see, that's okay.
California.
That's okay for me. If you're just looking at it in a football sense and you say, I want him back so my favorite team wins, that's fine with me. I don't care.
And I think that we talked about this upstairs yesterday. To some degree, as unfortunate as it might be, that's the era that we're starting to live in, is you root for your guys on your team who take drugs,
right.
And you make fun of the guys on the other teams who take drugs, and that helps them. And it's just part of the era.
And you guys were talking about like how widespread this is, and I don't know if you were there, Paul, but I said to Andy, these freshmen that come into college now, I'm watching the Illinois-Missouri game. Illinois has this freshman stud receiver. This guy looks like T.O., he's 18 years old. I'm sorry. We all know enough about biology. Your body's not supposed to be that
right.
big when you're 18.
It's all levels.
These guys
it's all
are
sports.
Huge and fast and strong. I mean,
and
it's
that
amazing.
Is the actual argument that people seem to have the most trouble with is adults, if they wanted to take it, could take it. But as it trickles further and further down,
yeah, exactly.
Where's the cutoff? How do you keep kids in middle school and high school? Because let's be honest, the kid in high school who wants to start is feeling the exact same pressure that Rodney Harrison is to not end his career.
Right.
He doesn't know in his world. That's his world. That's as important as anything.
He thinks.
Right. I mean, we've all been at that age and know how dumb things that you look back now are totally meaningless to your big picture life. But at that point, they are your life.
I think that's a great point. And I think that we all were probably there where whatever sport we happened to be playing at the time was the single most important thing of our lives.
Let's be honest. You wanted to throw 80 miles an hour. You never reached that landmark, but maybe you would have had you juiced.
As long as you say 90, then that would be okay.
And I wanted to be a good football player, but I wasn't because I was slow and I stunk. So that's you know, that's life.
Steroids might not have helped you.
But the point you make, Andy, is
it's
a good one.
It's a big problem at the high school level.
Right, yes, because when you're Rodney Harrison's age, you're taking it in your own hands, whatever happens, happens. When you're younger, you're still growing. Your bones are still growing. Your body's still growing. So when you speed that process up with steroids or HGH, that's not good news for you, and it can cause a lot of problems.
And the other issue is, and I don't want to make this sound like everything in the NFL is backroom and bad, but I also tend to think when you're Rodney Harrison's age, you have a better chance of getting good steroids, good drugs, stuff that is pharmaceutical grade. While
won't
they
harm
don't
you in the long term as much.
Some kid in high school, middle school, first of all, doesn't know what he's getting, is paying some guy in some shady corner for a bottle of pills or injectables that who knows what they are. Now, that doesn't make it right on either end, but the
it's
kid
more
in
dangerous
high school
on the other
is,
end.
And his body is changing. He's not a developed adult. I just think there are a ton of issues there, and people have always said that that's the biggest problem, and I think it is because it is trickling further and further down.
All right, I got another email here from Jonathan in Virginia. Is it just me, or is this is the one I kind of like the most? And I'm not even sure if he was totally serious with this one, but I'll let you guys be the judge. Is it just me, or is this Harrison suspension potentially a good thing? I mean, we all know he's going to get injured. This way, he's guaranteed to at least to go to at least week 5. And it's not like the Pats aren't going to make the playoffs. Taking it one step further, why shouldn't Bill bench all of the injury-prone, extremely old veterans until the playoffs? Having Rodney, Troy Brown, Bruschi, and Junior all completely fresh and healthy going into the postseason would be pretty great, no? Not to mention...
Pretty sure he's being, you know, tongue-in-cheek here.
Not to mention it would give chances for the younger players to develop. Thoughts? All I can tell you is there's not one...
Ha-ha. LOL.
Yeah, there's nothing... You know, no sign, indication in there that he's only joking.
If you think the Patriots are so good that they can sit a lot of their starters and make the playoffs, you are either A, Mike Felger, or B, the biggest homer in the world, because this is the NFL. All these teams are pretty close.
Right.
I mean, you go into a 2-3 game stretch where you lose, all of a sudden the Jets are in first place in late October. You're in trouble.
And even if you do make the postseason, well, do you make it as the 6th seed?
Yeah,
do you really want those guys playing on the road?
We've all seen,
and I've
got to
tell you, that's been the difference.
Seeds.
That's been the difference. It was definitely the difference last year, and it may have been the difference the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to the emails, we got Craig in South Carolina in between his calls to Asante Samuel.
To hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Craig. Craig, did you really call Asante Samuel, and did you speak to him?
Yeah.
You talked to him personally?
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you. We're trying to get the story here because we didn't realize that you actually had his phone number.
You're full of crap. Well, I sent an email to Fred after you guys were talking about it last week.
Right, we got that. So you Googled it, you got the number. So what did you say when you spoke to him?
I just basically told him that I'm not some, you know, nutcase or
so
whatever.
You lied.
You know, I'm a devoted, you know, Patriots fan, and, you know, I felt like the team needed him there, and that, you know, he was going to make almost $8 million this year, and it was if he went ahead and played with the Pats, it'd be his opportunity to show not just the Patriots, but the entire league that he's an elite cornerback if he goes out and does something other than, you know, 3 or 4 picks. Now he had 10. If he had 10, you know, and he tied the league, and plus he had, you know, 1 or 2 in the playoffs, a pick 6. I told him it was just his opportunity.
How long are we going here?
Told him it was his opportunity to show everybody.
Now, Craig, was his response, how in the hell did you get this phone number?
I just did it on, I did a Yahoo search. And
What did he say?
Oh, he never said a word. Never said a word. I just, you know, basically told him.
I'm not surprised by that.
Okay.
How do you know he was even there?
Because
he signed, Andy.
His lady friend or wife or whoever answered the phone, and I asked to talk to him, and you know, dude answered the phone, so.
Well, that's a pretty amazing story.
Did you play it cool and say, is Zant there?
I did at the end, though. I have to admit, I did at the end, you know, tell him, well, you know, I really hope that you come back, and if you do, you know, I'm sure that everybody in the Patriots organization and all the fans will all say Asante.
So did you call? Did you
Swahili for thanks?
Did you call him back and say thank you for when he came back? Did you?
No, because I knew he wouldn't be down there.
Oh.
See, Andy, you don't think. You just don't think before you talk.
I do have a perspective to add with regards to the whole HGH issue. Okay, my brother and I were both born with a birth defect in that we don't produce anything on our own. I mean, we have to take shots and pills for everything. So, you know, I grew up taking human growth hormone. And that was back when it was initially developed, and then they developed the synthetic, and it's gone on and on. HGH is normally, you know, provided. I mean, it's something that we produce every day. Okay, people normally produce it every day, and it especially hits them, adolescents. That's the reason why they, you know, top out usually when they finish going through puberty. However, most people don't produce the sufficient amount of HGH that even the New England Journal of Medicine prescribes to. So I'm not by any means, you know, saying that it was okay that Rodney did what he did. But there are thousands of adults and hundreds of thousands of kids who are already short of stature where their parents go to an endocrinologist and elect to have HGH.
Well, they don't elect to. The doctor prescribes it. And second of all, there's people who don't produce enough testosterone, so that means steroids should be legalized too. I mean,
I understand your situation, but
how do you know Rodney's one of these guys who's not producing enough HGH? That's a bad argument. He cheated
to get
bigger, stronger, and faster.
Well, you went one step too far. I said, I don't know what Rodney's situation is. But, you know, there's a difference in my eye between taking something that you ordinarily wouldn't produce, you know, like to become bigger or stronger, okay, like steroids. Myself, personally, just like my brother, we have to give each other, I mean, I have to give myself my own shots and everything, but I have to give myself testosterone because I don't produce it. I don't produce anything on my own, okay? And if he were to take that, that would be considered, you know, an anabolic steroid, and that would not be cool. And I hate, you know, that Rodney did what I did. I just wanted to throw that out there.
So if he took testosterone, you would be against him, but since he took HGH, that's okay in your book.
I wish he had gone to a doctor is what I wish. I wish, you know, I mean,
Craig, can we all agree that this really wasn't a medical situation? I mean, I sympathize with your plight and your brother's plight and the fact and all the other people in this world that need these sorts of drugs, and I don't wish that upon anybody. But can we all agree that Rodney Harrison was a healthy man at the age of 34 who didn't need to do this from a medical perspective?
Yep. And
regardless,
if he was unhealthy, he's not allowed to take it and play in the National Football League.
But I'm taking all that out of it.
But that's part of it.
That's a huge
guys
part
that
of it.
Play
it's
in the league, you agree to these rules.
Right.
And that's one of the
but
rules.
I'm even
HGH
saying,
is banned.
Let's take away the sympathy because he needed the HGH. He didn't need the HGH.
Right.
That's what I'm
trying
to say.
I don't sympathize with Rodney's condition. I was just kind of providing a little, you know, education for the folks out there who
we appreciate
haven't done any reading on it.
But your job from now on, Craig, is not to tell us about HGH, but next week, I want a fireside chat with Tom Brady. I'm sure you can get on the horn right now. Get that done, and you get a little recorder out. You get the sound to Gary. We'll play it next week on the show.
All right. Well, I don't.
That's
have
your little
Tom's
homework
number.
Assignment.
I'll have to call Giselle.
All right. Well. All right. Good stuff, Craig.
All right, fellas.
Thanks,
bye.
My man. All right. So Craig actually did speak to Asante Samuel.
What the.
It's unclear right now as to whether Asante Samuel was actually on the other end of the phone when Craig was speaking, but he did make the call.
I liked his lady friend.
All right, one more Rodney Harrison email, and then we will go to a quick break here because I'm hungry. Let's see. This is an open letter to Rodney Harrison. I just wanted to drop you a line with regards to recent developments. I'll start off by saying that I have been a Patriots fan since the mid-90s, but didn't follow the rest of the NFL that closely. So when you showed up on our team The only thing I knew about you was your reputation for vicious hits. Kind of puts us in the same category of the rest of us. As time went on, I began to watch you more and more in depth. Of course, the thing that stands out is the big hits, but what most people don't see is you helping the player up afterward. Well, I can certainly say I don't see that, just speaking personally. I love the way you approach the game and your hard-hitting style. When your recent rash of injuries started, I became downhearted with each one. But with each injury came joy to see you make your way back onto the team. When the news broke that you had admitted to using HGH, I was somewhat in shock. I am not naive and realize that there are so many players out there that are using something that the league has banned. I was just hoping that my favorite guy to watch was not one of them. By all accounts, you are one of the nicest guys off the field. With that being said, I would like to see you educate the kids and the public about what you did and how it has affected you and those around you. While I miss seeing you on the field, I am more saddened that now that we have this black cloud around your name. I respect you as a player and a person, though I don't respect that decision. I can't begin to understand the pressures you are facing, but I will try to do so in my attempts to forgive you of this act. Thank you for all the great entertainment you provided. I will be cheering for you when you get back. And that's from a loyal fan.
How much money do you make? I'm just wondering, because you can't understand the pressures Rodney Harrison's going through. The guy's a millionaire. You probably make, what, $40,000 a year? My guess is you go through a lot more pressure than he does. Another bad excuse.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. And I've been very outspoken with my affection for Rodney, but I just can't blindly accept it that he's done this. I think we all understand why he did it, but doesn't mean that we would have done it in the same job. It's illegal. And as Andy points out, most appropriately, the NFL strictly prohibits
yes.
it.
Yes.
So if you do it, you're cheating.
And I'm all for giving him a second chance.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing him
back.
No,
that doesn't mean that. He deserves to
pay
die
his
tomorrow.
Price, and it's more than the four games.
Right.
That's what we talked about at the onset. The price is paid.
Exactly.
So he's getting what he deserves for cheating. He comes back, helps the team, and there you go.
All right, we'll continue with the Rodney talk. We'll get into Rishay Caldwell leaving the team, somewhat surprisingly. Randy Moss.
Well, not now that we know he didn't even know the offense.
Right. Randy Moss spoke to the media on Monday. He looks like he's going to be cleared to go. A lot of stuff to talk about on the rest of PFW in Progress.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's gonna be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar. In the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything.
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome!
And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
Good stuff. Our newest creation here by Gary. PFW in progress. We like to eat.
And the voice guy. Give the voice guy
some Rob is outstanding. Well done, yes. But do you, that really is a big part of the show, don't you think? The fact that, we're always either eating or
wanting
talking about
eating
or preoccupied with the thought of food in some way.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a big part of our existence, I must say.
Luckily, we have a huge platter of empty hamburger rolls sitting in front of us.
Well, there's some chicken somewhere if you're interested in that.
Is there a piece of chicken for every one of those rolls?
I don't know.
Like there's a good 36 rolls there.
I don't have the answer to that. I'm sorry. So
be no more breaks. Gary left.
Obviously, we discussed the Rodney Harrison situation. We can continue to take your thoughts on that. Webradio@patriots.com. But there's a lot of other stuff. You know, roster cuts came down.
Everything came all at once.
Well, in general, it was one of those Labor Day weekends that was anything but relaxing for the Patriots organization. There was something going on at all times.
I had plenty of beers.
There was 21 guys let go. We're not going to go all, down the list. But anything in particular that happened over the weekend that was surprising to you guys?
I was a little surprised that Justin Rogers didn't make the cut. I thought he had shown some flashes.
But now you're
preseason.
Happy.
Well, no, I'm
he's
just saying.
Cowboy.
And let me just preface. I totally agree with you. I just want to preface one thing. You know, Richard Seymour being placed on PUP was probably the most surprising thing.
That was the.
And I don't know if we even mentioned that on the top of the show. Just get that out of the way.
I agree with Justin Rogers. We were going to go into that a little bit more. I was just saying with the cuts, with the meaningless guys,
right.
I thought Rogers was a little surprising. And then I thought it's even more surprising that a team that runs a similar type defense and is pretty stacked at linebacker picked him up right away, and apparently he looks like he's going to do some things there that are interested in keeping him around. So we'll have to see how he turns out.
Maybe he's more of a go-getter in Wade Phillips style 3-4 than a two-gap, three-and-react kind of linebacker in this system.
That but could
Paul,
be. It could be as simple as that.
You mentioned the real big news about Seymour. He's on PUP. He's out for 6 weeks. Now there's a report from Pro Football Talk, more like, I would say, a rumor, kind of.
Yeah, I would say a rumor, and I think it's a bad rumor
that he'll be out for the season. But we do agree, though, there is some kind of setback here. This isn't like from the knee surgery, we don't think, do we?
Well, I mean, I don't know. The way it's termed in the report, it says that he suffered, what was the phrasing, Paul?
Complications.
Complications. I just find it hard to believe that it's complications from a surgery that took place, whatever it is now, like 7 months ago.
Right.
To me, complications happen sooner than that, and you can clear them up or whatever. To me, it'd be more likely, because we saw him out on the field running with a trainer with one of those harness things pulling back on him.
Right.
To me, that's not a – maybe he had a setback or injured something or
that's
something happened.
That's what leads me to believe that he suffered some sort of setback.
I don't think it's a complication from the surgery, the original surgery to clean up the knee.
I agree, and if it turns out
to be – doesn't really matter. If he's out for the year, he's out for the year.
I was going to say, if it turns out to be that that report from Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk turns out to be accurate, I would say that that's probably – it's probably a matter of semantics.
Right.
And that they're not, it's not necessarily a complication, but rather a re-injury or a different injury that has caused him to sit out.
Well, how did he – working literally hand in hand with the training staff, how did he have such a serious complication
or setback
or whatever it is?
Well, sometimes can't you like twist? You never know.
I guess, but I mean, to me, that would be a really freak incident if the guy hasn't practiced and he was working with the trainers just rehabbing in a surgery that was 7 months ago for him to suffer a season ending injury then. I just think that would be.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Well, the one thing, Paul, you and I were talking upstairs, the one thing...
Why are you rubbing your chin, looking like I said something that could get me in trouble?
Nope. Nope.
The one thing that...
Matter of fact, I'm not saying anything that could get us in trouble.
Well, the one thing that could lend credence to that report is they put him on PUP, and a guy at Richard Seymour's status, that means they knew he was going to miss 6 weeks. Because if
at least
thought he was going to miss 3 or 4 weeks, you take the chance that you get him for
he's worth at least two games.
For sure. There's no question about it.
Right. I agree with you on that, and it's a concern. We obviously won't know about it until, that window starts, at the start of week 7.
It could be week 12 before we really know
about
it.
Right. Could be a long time. But I would say that if he doesn't begin practicing immediately, there's at least some truth to this rumor that's out there today. Because otherwise, what could possibly be the reason that he wouldn't be ready to go even then?
I don't know, Paul.
No, I don't either. But so we have the situation with Seymour, obviously. That dominated the transaction portion of the weekend. I was mildly surprised that Matt Gutierrez made the club, and quite frankly, I don't really know why. I don't really see why. We had a lengthy email from Ken in Canton who kind of really attacks that. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Ken goes into a detailed roster kind of a breakdown, and he says he's had several days to figure out the final configuration of the Pats roster and practice squad. He still can't understand this decision. Why are we keeping a valuable roster spot for a rookie quarterback whose highest usage will potentially be to replace Matt Cassel as the backup in 2009 or whenever Castle's contract runs out and he moves on? This makes no sense whatsoever. His point is Brady is the quarterback. He's going to be the starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. He says the next 5 to 8 years. I don't really know how you can make that comment, but... he says that there's really a very good chance, and I'm paraphrasing Ken, there's a very good chance that the next quarterback of the Patriots is not on the roster right now.
Right.
So why keep two guys that aren't the next quarterback on the Patriots is his point. And just go with the two. You have the insurance with Vinny Testaverde. You could have had Gutierrez in the practice squad if you were that afraid of losing him. Was he that good that you were that afraid to lose him?
Well, I mean, I think that's the case. They don't think they could have kept
him. What are you really going to lose if you don't?
Well, they think he's more valuable than Rashad Baker or whoever, one of the other last guys on the roster. I mean, you know what
Rashad
I mean?
Rashad Baker made the team.
The trade. Whoever those last guys are, they think he's valuable.
Yeah, he was in line with Tom, by the way. Ken agrees with you. He says, wouldn't it have been better to use a young guy like Justin Rogers or even Dante Wesley?
But if they think Justin Rogers' upside is, at best, a special teamer.
His point is that he felt those guys could have contributed this year, whereas those other guys can't.
But
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with him.
Can sign Wesley Mallard if they need a special teamer and not lose anything, but they can't sign a guy who could project as whatever they think Gutierrez can be.
I'm sure that you're right in terms of their reasoning, Andy, but I would strongly disagree with their assessment.
Plus, we know how teams look at backup quarterbacks as value. They try to develop them, even if it's just to trade them.
I mean,
if you can get a third-round pick down the road somewhere for a Matt Gutierrez, then you...
I didn't see a whole lot of difference between that kid and some of the other guys that have rolled in. Now, I thought he was better than the two that we had last year in Bramlett and Mortensen. But, you know, I look back to Davey. I look back to Kingsbury. I didn't really see a whole lot of difference.
Yeah,
between those guys and
but those guys, you know, they kept them around in some fashion for a period of time, trying to develop them. So,
yeah, I mean, that may have been, you know, Kingsbury was probably a paper injured reserve list that year, and they kept him around. But I will see. I mean, I think it was kind of a waste of a roster spot. I kind of agree with Ken.
Yeah, I do too. I don't see him ever really developing into much. I didn't see much from him. Obviously, the Patriots saw more than I did. I don't see that. It's not a huge deal that you didn't keep Testaverde because you could just call him whenever
exactly.
you need him.
But he's there. He's there for the taking whenever right. you want him.
But if a Justin Rogers develops into something, there's going to be a lot of people coming back to this saying, "Why did you keep Matt Gutierrez?"
And
over
let's be
Justin
honest,
Rogers?
They've been wrong a number of times on these guys. You know, Rohan Davey is a guy who we said for like 2.5 years. I just don't see it. Bill must see something in practice that we're not privy to, and we were right. He was wrong. Right? So,
well, he ended up, so yeah.
From a position of we've been right in this type of area in the past, you know, I can see how we'd question it. I didn't see enough from Gutierrez either way. I didn't think he was all that bad. I didn't think he was all that different
than Matt
Castle.
I didn't think he was
Matt
terrible. I
think they're kind of interchangeable.
Oh,
I've decided he's
the
backup quarterback.
I don't want to make it sound like that. I think this guy was terrible. I agree with you on that, Andy. I don't think he was terrible. Like I said, I thought he was clearly better than the two guys mm-hmm. that were in last year, and that was the second camp for both of those guys last year. Mortensen and Bramlett had both. They were both ones last year who had gone through the training camp process once before,
and played in college for a full career, right?
Yeah. Well,
this is another one of those
Gutierrez
guys
played in college
as 1 year.
But you know, I
that
just,
only makes
you
him more
think,
than
you think that
Castle.
You think him and Castle are
yeah. I don't.
Like
I think Castle
right
year
now.
One and Matt Gutierrez
oh,
year
oh,
one.
Oh,
same
well, that's
guy.
Not that's not
now.
What you
well,
said.
They
though.
Think Matt Castle's the great backup quarterback
but
here.
You,
so I think that shows
but
that Gutierrez could have value.
But what you just said is different than what you said the first time. And Tom obviously what? Thought that you said I didn't see any difference between Castle and Gutierrez. You didn't say.
Oh,
year
I meant
one.
In year one. I thought that
you
was
clarified it, but you didn't say that.
Castle wasn't any better than that. Now
I would even argue that. That
be in trouble.
You know, and I have been accused, and probably rightly so, to be a kind of a Matt Castle apologist.
But boy.
I would argue that I saw a lot more from Castle than Gutierrez just in terms of overall skills. Now, he was a wild man, and he still has some of those tendencies now, but he was a complete wild man that first rookie training camp, running all over the place. But mm-hmm. I just think the way he threw the ball doesn't compare with the way this guy does. But, you know, I'm certainly
virtually
no,
the same.
I'm certainly no talent
scout. Unproven
scout.
Young quarterbacks.
Well, that we all agree on. Let's move on. Sean is in Pennsylvania, worried about Richard Seymour a little bit. Season finally here, but it seems we have experienced another Labor Day weekend Patriots buzzkill. Not going to talk about Harrison or the Moss rumors or that Belichick is fighting with Major Dad, Brad Childress. My concern is Seymour. That's actually pretty good. He does look like Gerald McRaney, right?
The only thing I would say is that's kind of an unnecessary shot on Major Dad. I'm sure he could coach much better than Brad Childress.
Brad Childress was, as I've said in the past, on the air, was one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen was Monday night in Minnesota. My concern is Seymour. This injury was really kept hush-hush. I mean, we did know he had surgery in the offseason, but it was more serious than we were led to believe. But was it more serious than we were led to believe? And is it time to question, is he the best defensive player that he is being paid to be? I have not seen a Seymour-type season since 2004. He has had good seasons, but not great. Plus, no full seasons played since 2002. I think those are two different things, by the way. He's been injury-prone, but how much...
Right.
You can't say the guy's injury-prone, so he's not good.
He was dominant at times in the 2005 season. Last year, I'm not sure there were really stretches where he was dominant.
Yeah, I don't think he had a great year last year. I'll agree with that. The game
and
on
some
Sunday,
of the injuries, it wasn't his fault he was playing fullback.
He says... oh, that's true. Goal line fullback at San Diego in a 41-17 game. Game on Sunday.
I had
Seymour
that permanently in cut and paste in my Word. I could just press paste and it would insert that sentence in any story I wrote about Richard Seymour.
Andy and I had a competition that year to see how many times each of us could use it. Seymour or Harrison.
No wonder Bill doesn't look at us in the elevator.
Seymour and Harrison will not be missed in this game against the Jets because New York's line is a mess. The next time we see the Pats, next time we see the Jets, Kellen Clemens will be the quarterback. Man Genius can cry in his pasta fagioli at the Vesuvio with Artie Bucco.
Don't
You know who's in tonight? Man genius.
The Jets coach, sweetie.
Pats 31, Jets 13. Pat's record for the year, 13-3, but will go undefeated at home because the home field advantage is something that has been lacking the last 2 years. Gary, did you see the little memo to you? Hopes to hear a lot of Radio Nowhere at Gillette this year.
What the hell is Radio Nowhere?
I don't know.
Is this a group, a song?
Wow, we got a lot of emails coming in. Going to have to leave the old ones and start getting to the current ones. Let's see here. PJ. Let's go to PJ. He's always good for a laugh. Finally, the regular season is upon us. I need your take on Randy Moss and Richard Seymour situations, which I'm sure you already went over. Well, we went over Seymour. We didn't really talk a lot about Moss other than the fact that certainly looks like all signs are
Moss will play playing. And he has a 35% chance of scoring touchdowns, according to AccuScore.com, a website
and I got him down for two.
Predicts. Did I tell you about this, Paul?
No.
AccuScore.com.
I know nothing about what you're talking about.
It was on ESPN.com. It's a website that analyzes football statistics, probabilities, win-loss percentages. And I went to it today, and it told me what was going to happen in the Patriots-Jets game. Patriots have a 70% chance of winning. Tom Brady has the best case scenario, or most likely scenario, as he throws for about 240 yards passing with 1.6 touchdowns and 0.9 interceptions. Dante Stallworth is.
So this sounds a lot different than what we're doing.
Well, oh no, they have Fred's picks today.
They tell you when to punt. They had it broken down in situations when you should and should not punt, and what the exact parameters were. And they had a lot of graphs that showed up and down chances of winning. Sounded a lot like some other websites I've come across at times.
Well, that is a new feature that you can look forward to in PFW this year. In the newspaper is from goldironmine.com. Is going to have
Gridiron Mine, isn't it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Gridironmine.com. Thank you, Andy.
Gold Iron Mine. That would be ores.
Whatever. Anyway, PJ is next up. I thanked you for correcting me. What do you want me to do? I apologize 1,000 times. I'm down on my hands.
We could spend like another 10 seconds talking about that.
Well, you just kind of
laughed. Since I gave a half hour to their competitor,
which doesn't really sound to me like it's the same thing.
Oh, I do. I think it's the same thing on steroids. Since that's the topic of the day,
I don't. Maybe I'll have to see it then. It sounds to me like it's a prognostication site.
No, they do it afterwards, I believe, as well.
Oh,
it's the whole thing. They do fantasy.
Because I'm not really interested in the predictions of it, because all that is just based on numbers.
I find that entertaining.
It's totally based on, well, yeah, for that, but it doesn't mean anything.
I like to be entertained.
Well, I think it's stupid.
I'm not entertained by it.
Oh, I am.
I mean, 0.9 touchdowns, interceptions. What does that mean?
Who cares?
Almost one.
Does that mean, you know, I saw that he threw X amount of interceptions last year. I'm dividing by 16, so he throws 0.9 a week?
Well, I'm giving them more credit than that. Because if they do
you
that,
know, based
stupid.
On, and then you add the Jets' interceptions per game, and then you factor them two together, and you get a number. I mean, it's just basic math.
For stat geeks like Andy.
It's basic math. I didn't know you had your own website that did it.
Now Andy's going to be mad at me. I'm sorry,
just
Andy.
Just another case of where if Paul Perillo finds it interesting, stamp of approval interesting.
We talked about it for 10 minutes. You just went over it.
What was that?
I was going to say 5 minutes. Oh. I decided to change it to 10. Why do you get mad at me? Tom didn't like it either.
He's talking about freaking Skype like it's the last. Excuse me. I said freaking the first time.
Anyway, PJ is next up. Finally, the regular season is upon us. I need your take on Randy Moss. We already gave you that, which I'm sure you already went over. Andy.
Yes.
Better be picking the Jets this week after 3 weeks of saying there's a better chance of 0-2 than 2-0.
No, you picked the Patriots.
Off the air last week, I said to Tom, wait till all these listeners get me picking the Patriots
and,
2 weeks in a row.
And while Paul and I picked the game somewhat close, Andy believes it's going to be the biggest blowout of the week. So apparently,
well, the only way
27-10, apparently.
All right, I know you. I know
to the graphic and not my verbal prediction.
I know you're really mad at me, but I'll defend you now. And I'll say that the only way you would be fraudulent in saying the whole 2-0, 0-2 thing and picking the Patriots is if you then pick the Patriots next week against San Diego. That will make you a fraud.
We'll see.
Because
but the problem
if you
is,
pick San Diego next week, then it's neither one.
I think I'd pick the Chargers. But the problem is I can be swayed by week one action.
Well,
if the Chargers lay an egg and the Patriots look unstoppable, then there's a chance I pick Patriots
2 weeks
in a row. The
Chargers are going to beat the Bears like a freaking drum.
And if they do that, just say, no, I'm picking the Chargers.
Okay.
A little preview.
Although Andy may just say every game ends in a tie this year because, in his mind, every game is 50-50.
No, I think it's – I told you, it's easier to lose than to win. It's not easy to tie. There's like one tie every 10 years.
And you know, that brings us full circle, Andy, because that's the kind of analysis you get from these prediction sites. It's easier to lose than win. Anyway, I really
but
have a
feeling –
it's
easier to do both than tie.
I really have a feeling the Pats are going to win easily. I want Fred to do his best Tom Casale impression and say this line. I'll tell you why.
But you know why?
The Jets are a decent team, but the Patriots win by 8 touchdowns. Seriously, I think the Pats win 27-17, but the game never seems in doubt. But then again, who knows? The first week of the season is so unpredictable. Have a good one, and hopefully we'll be talking about the big Patriots victory on Monday. Go Pats. Sorry, Paul, I don't want to offend you by being too much of a fan. Whisper, go Pats.
Let's be honest. My little 0-2 scenario became a little bit more possible, right? When you lose Rodney Harrison and you lose Richard Seymour?
You know, I was going to open up that question, period. Does anybody feel any differently, you know, without Seymour and Harrison? Evidently, no, because everybody is maintaining their predictions.
Yeah, I feel. I mean, they're obviously not as good, but a lot of these predictions we made when we didn't know if Asante Samuel was going to be here, so they get one guy back in the second, they lose the other guy. Plus, with the man love we all seem to have for James Sanders, we kind of think the move's irrelevant,
I
guess.
Even Smith could step in there and they wouldn't miss a beat.
I'm not sure LaKeven Smith will get the chance unless three other guys get hurt.
Jay wanted to talk about the Mike Florio stuff. He says he's a big fan and usually he checks out Florio's stuff on Pro Football Talk a lot because he respects the round-the-clock coverage. But enough is enough regarding the Patriots. Is it just me or is he just posting a new rumor every day, whether it's about Moss, Seymour, or Rodney?
So he likes
I think he's talking about the Patriots. He likes the site unless it's about the Patriots.
And, that's what he does.
And this guy defends the Patriots about as much as anybody.
Oh, he clearly has a lot of respect for the way the Patriots do business.
Right. And he defended them in the Brad Childress, Bill Belichick thing, right? Why is he challenging a great coach and coming out with a public
But I'm even going to say that he says, I doubt you'd know much, but any chance you could discuss the Moss getting cut or the Seymour out for the season rumors being babbled about at the moment.
Is that a shot? Well, I doubt you'd know much.
The Moss being cut, though, he didn't say Moss would be cut. He said he heard from around the
Yeah, and he also said that he doesn't buy it, but he's hearing it,
yes.
Number one. Number two, just because it didn't happen doesn't mean there was no truth to it.
Right.
That's one thing that people – it's a larger picture of the whole results-based thing that bothers me. Like, so-and-so's good because he won, and so-and-so's bad because he never won. Well, just because the guy it didn't end up happening doesn't mean this wasn't a rumor that was out there.
Right.
You know, three very respected people very well could have told Mike Florio, hey, the Patriots are really thinking about axing this guy.
And I would hope, I think he's right often enough, and I think he does a decent enough job kind of digging through all the rumors, that he wouldn't just, you know, if a guy from the Jets' main head offices call and say, oh, I hear the Patriots are going to cut Randy Moss, I'd run with it.
Well,
I would hope he has
I
something that
because,
he can somewhat respect.
I think because
respect.
He has so much respect for the Patriots, I think maybe his things with New England might have a little bit more truth than some other people, because I don't think he just wants to put false rumors up, because he's
and
always
I think
defending
his,
the Patriots.
His follow-up article, by the way, about that situation seemed to me probably more along the lines of what they were talking about, and an industry source told Florio that the Patriots had made all of their receivers, except for Wes Welker, available before, you know, after the cuts process, or as the cuts process was ongoing and through the weekend. And they didn't
sure
end up making any deals.
They got a ton of calls, but nothing came about that they wanted to do.
Right.
So,
and teams probably knew that someone was going to have to get let go, and they'll wait and see which one it is. Maybe it didn't matter to them if it was.
Fortunately, it was called one.
Now, let's face it. Moss probably didn't have a lot of trade value, because there's a lot of teams in the league that
wouldn't touch him
because they couldn't. You know, think about some of the bad teams around football. You know, wouldn't make any sense whatsoever.
Plus, he has less value right now. He's got a questionable hamstring, and he'd have to learn your offense in 4 days
to
be of any value. And you know what I mean?
You know, maybe Jeff Fisher is a guy that we've been talking about all offseason, Tennessee. They could use some receivers, but maybe they said, doesn't really matter to me if it's Gaffney or Washington or Caldwell. They're going to have to release one of them. We'll go after them when they do. You know, maybe they don't have any interest in any of them. Who knows? But I don't necessarily think that rumor was bogus, is what I'm saying.
And we'll never know.
I didn't think they were going to release him. I didn't think there was much of a chance they would release him. But I don't think it was necessarily bogus. The Seymour thing we talked about already, so we don't have to really get into that. Next one here. Hello to Fright Night. Overexcite. Sit
Did you know
tight.
That's a movie?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that where it came from?
Because
it was on this weekend.
I don't know.
It has like Shelley Long or something in it. It was on one of those 864 channels.
He didn't know it was a movie.
It's not a bad movie.
Never seen it. Skipped right past it.
I've never seen it either, but I don't watch horror movies.
Yeah, for horror movies, it's all right.
Because I originally thought it was the Rowdy Roddy Piper one with the glasses when he can see the aliens.
Oh, that's...
When I scrolled through.
I'll come up with it as the show comes on.
Anyway, he says, hello to Fright Night, Overexcite, Sit Tight, Patty Fight, and Light Bright. That would be Tom, Jake, Paul, Andy, and Scrappy Doo.
Which one was mine?
You were Patty Fight. Come on.
Oh, Patty, as in the drunk from Ireland. Okay, gotcha.
Vikings coach Brad Childress, otherwise known as Major Dad. We're going to have to incorporate that in. I like Sean's nickname. We'll be like Florio. We'll just call him Major Dad all the time, and somewhere on the site we'll link to our glossary.
Hopefully he's a better dad than coach.
You know, like Coach Teflon and all those guys.
So that people won't understand what we're talking about. Like, I don't understand when I'm reading the things on his site.
The Big Show.
Times. No, I know the Big Show, but he has one for almost every person.
Right.
And he links to a story. Sometimes I have to scroll over the link to see where it's from
to get a hint, to have an idea of what he's talking about. Yes.
They live.
Anyway, Brad Childress says,
I like that movie.
Belichick called and discouraged the Vikings from picking up Garrett Mills. First of all, is this above board, given union rules on collusion? Is there any exposure here? Second, why would the Patriots cut down to 51 players if they really wanted a couple of guys like Mills or Justin Rogers? Was it a mistake to cut down to 51 rather than 53?
They cut down to 53.
They cut down to 53. Actually,
they could have had 55. Then they brought back Rivers and Dave Heron.
Right, yeah. No, they cut down
now
to 54.
Now they're 50. Down to 54 because they cut Caldwell.
Right.
So I believe we're up to date there.
It's 54 right now. Yeah. Andy just put that right. That's right.
And it
right,
could be
when Samuel gets
right
activated, probably for this game.
Right.
It'll remain at 50. It'll be 50. 53. Be 53 active plus Harrison.
Plus Harrison. It'll be still. Yeah, it'll be still 54.
Which I and still Harrison think, and just out. A side note, is a flawed rule. If the guy's suspended, I think he should have to be on your roster.
I agree with that. I think there's probably an argument to be made that that might have had collusion overtones to it, but I think we all agree that Childress is the one that comes out looking like a dope
in
that story.
Why would you talk about that publicly?
You know, that's stuff that shouldn't be talked about publicly. That's inner workings of how you're building your football team
and I think
how you're constructing your roster.
I don't think Belichick is really that liked around the league probably, but I think in this instance, a lot of coaches and GMs would side with Belichick, and this probably pissed them off too.
Right. Now, is he just sore? Did they run the score up?
I don't really think they ran
Well, they don't like each other, right?
No, I know, but I didn't get the feeling they ran the score up that
way. Well, I thought something happened in the Super Bowl. Remember that week before the Vikings game?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh. Brad Childress blew me off at the combine when I stopped to ask him a question. He didn't seem very altogether.
He's really? A terrible
It was a pretty easy question. I asked him about the Eagles' offense, and he said, I just kind of stumbled and mumbled, and I thought to myself,
is this the man?
Loser.
All right, let's see. We got last week's show.
Get a lot of thing about coaches at the combine. Lane Kiffin, Brad Childress. I can pick the losers out of the bunch.
This is TG.
Rod Marinelli, jury out.
And he says that the subject is, has Fred been dipping into Rodney's HGH? Last week's show, what can I say? Fred, usually you are the best host. Normally you do a good job of filtering the emails, but here we are, 1 week before the regular season starts. Plenty of football to talk about, and you got the team picking who they are going to bang on a desert island and what CD they will be listening to while they do it. I can just see Tom over in the corner scoring another 40 points in Tecmo Bowl.
Whoa, hang on.
He was very interested.
Hang on a second here. That email changed our lives.
That's true. We owe somebody a big thank you.
It was Mark, right, in New Hampshire. Was that his? What's?
I don't know his real name. I know what he goes by.
Yeah. No.
What does he go by?
I don't know.
I don't know his real name.
We have a friend in New Hampshire that we now all owe a very big thank you
We're
to.
Talking about entire videos of Jenna Jameson.
Tremendous.
And I can't get my freaking wife out of the house long enough to enjoy him.
He really is unfiltered. Anyway, can we get Gary to hit a timeout buzzer or something when Fred goes overboard? No hard feelings, Jake. This is the part I like the best. Can't say it's not entertaining. you've probably beaten the subject to death, but just why is HGH? Why does it do?
Human growth hormone.
Why is
hormone that makes you grow.
Why is it banned if they can't test for it? This might sound crazy, but wouldn't the NFL rather have their players back in action ASAP? Doesn't that help to improve the, quote, product, so to speak?
I agree with that line of thinking, but it's illegal.
Maybe it shouldn't be banned, but regulated. I don't really know anything about all of this. That's why I asked you, the professionals, with the exception of Fred, obviously.
But now you got to get Congress
involved.
And
Andy, like, when you people take steroids for the same reason.
When people take.
No, I'm asking you a question. When people take steroids, they've taken that too to help recover from injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Now the argument is that, well, you're not really recovered because it's speeding up, but it's going to lead to more problems, and then that's why you hurt a shoulder, a back. So maybe it's not the best thing in the world to come back from a major knee injury in 3 weeks.
Right.
That's a good point. But you know, the bottom line is what you guys said. It's illegal.
Right.
And until something, you know, along those lines changes, that this is all
and
kind of a moot point.
It would be a major, it would be hard for the NFL to work unilaterally for their league. This is an issue that permeates all sports. So it's, I mean, I know we look at it from, you know, one, you know, tunnel vision, NFL, Rodney Harrison, football players, HGH. But you're talking about all of sports, and they're not. Congress isn't going to make a deal where if you're an NFL player and you carry a card that says I'm an NFL player, then I can take HGH. Well, that doesn't work that way.
No, I mean, what did I want? Percocet? I was looking to get Percocet.
Found out they were
expensive?
It's
illegal, and I tried to get it through the Mexican pipeline, but then they wanted my checking account number, and I drew the line.
You get those 10 bucks just pop on the street.
New email here before
take
we take
three of them to get a buzz.
Before we take another break, Elliot, first of all, congratulations to Tom on the nuptials.
Thank you.
Gary on the engagement, and Eric on his induction to the greatest podcast in the history of sports. To avoid that would be this.
Yeah.
Oh.
To avoid Tom's ire, like some rambling, unfunny emails from the Midwest, I will try to keep this brief. I have two questions. A few months ago, before the draft, I remember Tom talking about a book he considered one of his favorites. He said it was a behind-the-scenes look at the world of college football. I think it may have been centered around Oklahoma or Oklahoma State during the 80s, if my memory serves correct. It was basically an honest, scandalous look at the underbelly of big-time college programs. I am interested in getting my hands on it. If you guys know, could you tell me the title so I can take a look at Amazon.com?
Yeah, it's The Life and Crimes of Oklahoma Football. It has a title. I can't remember the exact.
I'm sure if you Google The Life and Crimes.
But it's by
of
Charles
Oklahoma
Thompson,
football.
The quarterback there when he played. That's
didn't
the
he
book
go on to become a congressman or something?
No,
is that the one?
No, he's actually a speaker now against drugs and all those kinds of things. But that he played in
Jamel Holloway. Is
no, that's J.C. Watts.
Oh, okay.
The Charles Thompson played
one of the quarterbacks in that era. I was just going to keep
Charles
guessing
Thompson
until I got it.
Charles played the year that they lost to Miami, the Jimmy Johnson team, for the national title, and he talks about how the game was fixed and a lot of the things that went on during his time there. And if 10% of what he says is true, then it's interesting.
Number two from Elliot. One of my favorite all-time moments from the show is when Paul referred to the beautiful Erin Andrews as tremendous. Upon hearing this, I immediately snorted Diet Coke out of my nose and debated going home to change my tie before an afternoon business meeting. I hadn't laughed that hard since my older brother farted during Easter Mass in 1989. Are there any other female sports personality/commentators you guys personally, quote, like? I am interested in your honest opinion of Rachel Nichols.
Ooh.
Yeah, none of us really are big fans of Rachel Nichols in terms of people that we quote like. None of us are really.
Doesn't
high
have the
on
looks
list
or the personality or anything from start to finish.
Bonnie is hot.
Brings nothing to the table.
Again, welcome Eric. Congrats, Tom and Gary, and as usual, keep up the great work, Fred, Andy, and Paul. Papagino's will be on me soon.
Jack Bud.
That's right. Elliot from Worcester.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right.
Who's
Gene
hot?
Yeah, let's
figure. Got to answer the guy's question. We're email driven here.
Bonnie is hot.
Who's hot?
But Susie Colbert.
Andy all of a sudden
hotter
has to give Colbert a lot of serious thought to the question because he heard Papagino's is on us.
The girl who used to do Monday Night Football, I used to love, Melissa Stark.
Melissa Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's news now or something.
She was pretty legit in person.
She's okay.
She looked good. But she's a lot like Catherine Tappan, actually.
Yeah.
She looks a lot like her.
If we're going to go local, Catherine Tappan would be on the list.
From Nessun, which you'd be able to get that, you know, obviously being
and
a
just
Massachusetts,
so you know,
she is very, very nice and very pretty in person.
In person, 10 times hotter than she is on TV, and I think she looks very good on TV.
Yep.
I would agree. Does this qualify us for, like, male chauvinist?
Some of her interns.
No, didn't you see the study that came out? Men like women who are attractive.
That's
no
brilliant.
Offense.
I swear to God, it was in the Globe.
No offense, though, but how many times do you see fat, ugly sideline reporters who are women? You see fat, ugly men
brilliant
covering football,
brilliant
but not women.
There's a couple.
But you can be fat and ugly and be a man and get a job in the right. industry. I don't know if you can if you're a female.
You're
is
fat
that right?
And an
probably
ugly woman,
not,
you
got
to be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
All right, G, let's take a quick break. We got another hour to go, a little less than an hour to go. I'm not sure how much we're going to do in terms of our picks here. Maybe we'll save that for like the last 10 minutes. We'll just go around the league and
real
make
quick.
Picks real quick. We got too much to talk about here on PFW in Progress.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
Here's a rush, got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Got to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free gold Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America, Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Back, PFW in Progress, Andy, Tom, and Paul, minus Jake Steele.
And
getting a little worried about Jake Steele?
Yes.
Well, Eric at least is on the job. He's,
he usually
he's out
lets
of practice
us know when he's
going to
miss the
update.
Show.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, well, no one's seen him all day. His door's been closed. When
mildly
I went back
concerned.
Up, at I left at 10 or 12, and his door was still closed, so he wasn't here.
It's possible he had the closing on his house, and he's already in the Caribbean.
That's not good. That's
no.
not good.
As long as they don't wake up next
no.
to dead women.
Because we get the first
kids,
email
okay
in our account that says Fred Kirsch is no longer with the organization.
I'm not even waiting around for the second
email. Then I go to check the second email, and my account says you are no longer a valid emailer.
I'm not even waiting around for the second email. I'm gone.
Yeah,
because
we can live without Eric. We can't live without Fred.
Fred saves
we can
us.
Do very well without Eric.
Fred saves us from ourselves way too often. There's no way we survive
I don't
that
know.
One.
Maybe like Jake Steele. Or
I don't know.
Still, I think the funniest moment that's ever been said on this program.
Right,
just the delivery was tremendous.
One of the things that happened, you know, over
you
the
know
extended over the extended weekend that we hadn't really talked about, Danny Bogger and the situation with
his dad,
the now former punter. He says, "Do you?" The next emailer here, David, says, "Did you guys hear about the assault charges being brought against Danny Bogger?" The article says that the assault occurred a few days after his release, and Stacey James is quoted as saying that the release was football related. But do you think it's possible that Bogger had been showing some signs of instability causing Belichick to release him? He performed very well in the preseason, and while Hansen is okay, That would be Chris Hansen, the gentleman that they brought in to replace him. I'm not sure we talked about that on the show. I think Bogger clearly had a better leg. As for the defense, without Harrison or Seymour, I'm concerned and cautiously optimistic. We got pretty far without Harrison in the playoffs, and our 0-4 playoff run didn't include Seymour until the Super Bowl. What is your prediction for the first 6 weeks without Harrison and Seymour? I'll say 4-2 with losses to San Diego and Dallas. That's Dave in Storrs, Connecticut.
I'll agree.
Tom has that obnoxious little grin on his face.
Nah, the Cowboys stink. The Patriots are ripped through them like Swiss cheese, especially with that moron quarterback coach of theirs coming back for that game.
And a wide receiver who now says he'd rather have Donovan McNabb.
They'll be falling apart at the seams by that point.
Yeah, well, you know, the Bogger situation, and I was told pretty much the same thing that that David just recounted, that it was a performance thing, and someone had even told me that they were watching him in practice last week, before the release, obviously, and he was really struggling. I got to be honest with you, I don't necessarily buy it. I thought he had a strong preseason. There has to be a reason why they got rid of him. You know, I'm not sure we'll ever know what exactly it was. Do you think there's anything
struggling
to the fact that he likes to have left-footed punters?
No. I didn't know Hansen was left-footed.
Yeah, I mean, every...
I think he fits the mold more of what
pretty much every puncher
have.
They've had has been lefty.
But I think more than that, and we've talked about that in the past, that I never understood if that was an issue with the ball coming off their foot and
that's
whatever.
That's what I'm asking.
But no, I think it's more to do with...
Think that's worth a Friday-type question?
Sure. I think it's more to do the mold of the punter, the guy with
I know what you're saying.
Who kicks the ball high, gets him down inside the 20, doesn't get a lot returned. I think this guy reminds me of that kind of guy. It's not a with Bill. It's clearly not about the length, the strength of your leg. It's
size
about,
doesn't matter.
Well, you know, my other thought is that Bogger was too short to be an NFL punter. I challenged ask PFW emailers to send me in a successful
short
punter.
Not a single
punter,
one yet.
Not a one. Looks all like right. Andy was right again.
Justin's next up. He has a bunch of items of note. First of all,
we'll be the judge of that.
Awesome work on the new website. You guys continue to set the bar for other sports franchises.
We don't
how you
agree
interact with,
that. With
the fans on the website. Now, as
when I open it up on my laptop, all I see is Tom Brady's left elbow.
As every Pats fan was, I'm sure, I was
sorry,
glued to sports radio this weekend with all of the stories, rumors, cuts, etc. Now, of course, the stories about Harrison and Seymour are somewhat discouraging at first, but in the long run, am I the only one who is actually optimistic about these two events?
No, we already had another email about that.
Over the last couple of years, our defense has been accused of being old and tired toward the end of the season, especially in the championship game last year.
Holy Moses,
now,
it's the same theory.
Both Seymour and Harrison are essentially getting 6 and 4 week rests at the beginning of the season, which would theoretically make them fresher toward the end of the year when the games really matter. Is it at all possible that Belichick is taking extra care with Seymour so he is fresh and strong for the end of the year? Am I alone in thinking that these breaks at the beginning of the year could really be good things in the long run?
Amazingly, no.
No.
Let me ask you guys a question. How old is Richard Seymour?
27.
So he doesn't.
That's a guess.
He doesn't need 6 games off. If he's in the prime of his career right now. If you're telling me Richard Seymour needs 6 weeks to be ready for the end of the season, then he sucks. Bottom line, he can't. Then
first
he
of all, there's absolutely no way on earth that Bill Belichick is thinking of this in terms of this is a good thing in the long run. Now, it may turn out to have some side benefits in that you get guys like, maybe, for example, Alikeven Smith. Maybe is forced into a role as a backup and performs well. Maybe he does. And maybe that gives you an extra piece of depth. Maybe James Sanders goes out there and you see, you know what? We don't miss a beat without Rodney out there. James Sanders has really blossomed in year three here. That's a totally side benefit. That has nothing. There's nothing good that comes out of missing those guys for the first 4 weeks and Seymour for the first 6.
Nothing. Your team is better with both those.
You're a better
your best
team
players.
With
if you don't need them,
then why are you paying them $30 million?
What are we even talking about them for? Then? What's the sense?
And if the margin is so close, like we all think in this league, and that has the difference between maybe losing a game that you wouldn't have lost, that could ultimately be the difference.
Especially when you have the Jets, the Chargers, the Bengals, playoff AFC
and then after
competitor
that, the next
teams.
Four is a really tough stretch. That's
no, I know, but
four.
I'm just saying, if you opened up, say they it was last year and they opened up with 4 straight to start, you know, the NFC North, then this somewhat idiotic theory might have a 1% chance of being less idiotic. But I'm just amazed that we have multiple emailers with the same thought, and I just want to say that when something bad happens in my life, I'm going to throw it out there on the air and get our emailers to tell me why I should see the bright side of it. Like
Tom, your boy in New Hampshire is Eric, by the way.
Oh, Eric.
Eric is the best. He didn't even have to send food.
And he wants to know Miami.
Something much more important.
Miami at OU.
I like Oklahoma.
OU
is
minus,
this what this is about?
OU minus 10 and a half.
This ends badly for us.
I think OU wins.
Sooner or later, Eric gets
cover.
Burned.
What do you think?
I think OU blitzkriegs them. I think Miami's in Florida State's category, where they still suck, except they played Marshall last week at home, who really sucks. Oklahoma's going to probably shut them out 3 to 6 points at the most, I see Miami score. And they couldn't even throw the ball against Marshall. I like Oklahoma big in that game.
This is an interesting question here from Phil in Austin. And we're not naming names. We're being responsible. This is the new and improved responsible PFW in progress with Paul,
Ernie
Tom,
Adams.
And Andy. Paul, Tom, and Andy really being concerned about the whereabouts.
It was Ernie Adams.
Well, that was Jake Steele. We're really concerned about the whereabouts of Jake Steele right now. So we're really going to consciously be worried about our jobs and try to be responsible. You guys see all the players throughout the year, Phil says. I'm not asking any of you to name names, but if I took the 53-man roster and set the over-under for players taking performance-enhancing drugs.
No idea.
Set it at 10.5.
Over.
Do you take the over or the under?
I'd take the over by a lot.
I would take the over based on assumption, but I really have no idea.
I don't have any idea, but I would take the over in this locker room. And then if you gave me 10.5 in the Jets locker room, I would take over. If you gave me 10.5
right.
in the Broncos.
I agree with that, but I don't know. I really have no idea. My assumption, as I said, is over, and probably over by a significant number, but we really don't know. You can't base it on anything because all guys
that's
have different genetics. All guys have
Andy,
different.
And that's you hit on a good point there. I knew a kid once who was trying out for the Arena League. And he's a, you know, he played Division III, skinnier guy, but he wanted to get faster, so he took the, was it Winstrol?
Winnie.
Yeah, he took the Winstrol. He didn't get much bigger, but he got faster,
right.
And he made the team. So you can't tell just by looking
no.
at a guy if he's on steroids or, because they do all different kinds of things.
Especially.
Not everybody wants to gain 40 pounds of muscle.
Right, and within reason, especially, none of those guys in that locker room look like superhero freakish, really. I mean, they're big, they have nice physiques, but if you compare them to bodybuilders, guys who are 325 pounds with 1% body fat and...
You only get one of them, Ben Watson.
Okay. What happened to that responsible part?
I'm not saying Ben Watson's on drugs, I'm saying he's the one guy who looks like
but
that.
But even him, you know what he weighs? I mean, 240?
Yeah,
250.
You're talking about bodybuilders have less body fat and 100 extra pounds
right.
of muscle. So there are guys that take it to the extreme. So I just think it's so hard because you and I could take the same exact stack of whatever, and
right.
we would have different results. Paul would do the same thing, have different
and
results.
That's my point. Ben Watson may not be on HGH, but Brandon Gorin may
right.
be on HGH.
Right, and we'll
you
never
know.
Right. I just would say if you put a gun to my head, I'd go over.
I would go over as well. And obviously, we're not going to get into rattling off, there's one, two, three, but... I just think it would be naive to think that there's something that these players can take that's going to greatly enhance their performance that basically can't be detected.
Right.
And that there are not a lot of guys taking it.
No. If I went in the Raiders locker room, I might go under because they stink.
That's my reasoning. That's
yeah,
my
they
reasoning.
They might not have talent. They could be juiced up, no talent hacks.
You know, speaking of this stuff, do you think Todd in Nova Scotia is wondering, you think that what might be why Rodney took a pay cut? If he didn't, he would have been cut. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't know when they knew, so... The timeline is a little hazy there. That pay cut came
yeah.
quite a while ago.
And from what I understand, only about a week or 10 days ago, before the suspension was announced.
When was the suspension
the
announced?
Friday. They've only
what
known.
What date was that?
August 31st.
Sounds about right. Because I know that the date was given in the Dallas thing. Dallas was made aware August 17th.
Yeah, and I was told about a week to 10 days before.
So that would be in that same time frame there.
Phil also following up when I heard that.
But we haven't discussed the possibility that it affected Asante Samuel negotiations. That they may have had an increased impetus to get him in uniform and in camp, and Florio again brought that up.
Absolutely.
Thanks to his cousin at a cookout.
You have that. I didn't read that on Florio, but you have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he goes, I don't like to just steal stuff, so I have to be honest. I was at a cookout this weekend, and one of my cousins or nephews or somebody brought it up, and he decided to write about it on his blog.
Well, I mean, I think that makes sense, and I also think the fact that you saw Brandon Merriweather play safety for 60 minutes
yeah,
against
makes
the Giants
a lot of
makes
sense.
A
and
lot
Bill
of sense.
Say, well, he's been playing safety all along.
Yeah, well, no, really, Bill, no, he hasn't. And You know, that's
Bill forgot we were at practice.
And he also forgot that we watched the first three preseason right. games, of which he took zero snaps at safety.
Right.
So, you know, he may have, you know, I'm not saying he didn't take any reps at safety, because he probably did when we weren't around, but he didn't play much at safety.
Right.
In the preseason.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a coincidence.
Yeah, so I got to think that those things are related.
And we should bring up... Okay.
Bring it up,
Can we bring up another media personality's opinions on a player that we just discussed, Brandon
Merriweather?
Are you
guys asleep up there?
I mean, I think enough people know who Fred Smirlus is. He is a former player, obviously, with the Bills. Does a lot of local EEI radio, WBZ4. You may have seen him as New England Tailgate with Glenn Ordway and Steve Yossi. No, I'm just saying.
To your point.
And he's a Patriot suck-up, basically.
How long are we going here?
He doesn't really try to hide it. He kisses Bill's butt when they talk. They make a joke of it, but he still does it. And he totally shredded. Yeah, there may or may not be pictures in this studio with him wearing a gray hoodie and a photo with Bill and the rest of the crew. But he shredded Brandon Merriweather like he pretty much doesn't shred players. Now, I didn't hear it myself, but my understanding is what I read in terms of paraphrasing was pretty accurate and basically said Merriweather wouldn't have made the team if he weren't a first-round pick. Doesn't have the ability to play safety.
It was a huge thread on the Pats fan.
Basically saying he's... Bethel Johnson. He's going to hang around for a little while, but this guy brings nothing and will be gone as soon as they can legitimately cut him. And to me, I don't think he's played well, but I didn't think he didn't belong on a football field.
Right.
So, and coming from the source...
on the field as a corner. To me,
well, I don't think he does.
Think that's his position.
No, I don't think he does.
I think
there's very few guys that can play college safety and then all of a sudden be corners in the NFL. I think that's a pretty tough position to play and to just do it. I think that's, you know, Michael Griffin's obviously trying to make a similar transition, but we actually saw him make some plays in that transition here. Merriweather never really seemed comfortable, was nowhere near the ball, didn't seem like he was ready to make plays, but I think from the source, a guy who's apparently reasonably tight with Bill Belichick, has a football playing background as an all-pro, and is a Patriot apologist, for him to come out this early and say, the guy would have been cut and won't be here very long, to me that's interesting. It's noteworthy and says something.
Phil has a follow-up. It's kind of interesting. We looked at a lot of different ramifications of Rodney's suspension. He says, I wouldn't feel bad for Rodney. Feel bad for someone else. I don't feel any sympathy for him because he cheated. The guy I do feel bad for is Artrell Hawkins, who probably would still have a job if Rodney hadn't cheated.
Well, that's under the assumption, and I don't want to make an accusation, but that's under the assumption he didn't cheat.
Right.
I don't make those assumptions about anyone. We've had this discussion. If you see a guy, you should just say, I don't know.
And it's
also under the assumption
that you're making a jump to say that's why he,
right.
you know. He,
Plus, Rashad Baker made the team.
He could have beat out Rashad Baker. There may be other reasons why he
put your thumb up over there. I still don't know why he's on the team. I don't know what he brings.
Neither does he.
He brings a lot.
Christy is in D.C., and
she wants
to know.
How's it going?
Wow, that's a little creepy. Does he do that to all the emailers?
You come here often?
How you doing?
It's a little odd.
Yeah, that was very odd. I apologize for that, Chris.
It's not like it's Lori Baranski.
All right.
It's true. I just wanted to clarify something about the legality of HGH. I work in the pharmaceutical industry and have done a lot of work with a certain brand of HGH, including legal issues with its promotion. Drug companies aren't allowed to advertise or promote HGH for uses that aren't approved by the FDA. However, doctors can't prescribe a drug for any purpose they want. HGH is approved for use in children/adults. Who have a natural deficiency of the hormone and for certain diseases, and it can be advertised / promoted for those reasons. But it is also legal for a doctor to prescribe it for a variety of other conditions. Many anti-aging clinics use it for cosmetic purposes as a sort of fountain of youth, completely legally. So although I don't agree that Rodney should be able to use HGH as a performance enhancer, and I think he was justifiably suspended. What he did wasn't illegal as long as he got some doctor to prescribe the drug to him.
But it was an illegal prescription. He never saw the doctor, and that's illegal. Doctors have to see the patient.
And we understand how drugs work. There are a lot of drugs that if you use recreationally are illegal. I mean, if you're found on the street with a pocket full of Percocet and you don't have a prescription for it, that's illegal.
Right.
I mean, we understand that there are reasons that drugs exist.
And you can find a doctor
and
who
it's perfectly
you
legal
walk in and go,
it.
Let's be honest, Doc, I'm fine, but I want some Percocets. You can probably find a doctor who will give you the Percocets, and that's legal.
Because
he saw you.
let's see here.
No, but thanks you're for right, listening. Andy. There are someone who goes to the doctors a lot and has been to many different ones. there are a lot of idiots out there. And you're right. You probably could just keep going to different doctors until someone gave you a prescription.
And you catch a guy on a certain day, he's busy, and he just signs off on something, and you got what you wanted. It's like the guy who told me to take up to 12 Imodiums a day. Go ahead.
RJ in Vegas here. You'll like this.
Oh, okay.
This is I proved to you that I can laugh at myself. Paul.
It's always about you.
Dye your hair, for crying out loud. You look 60 years old.
Dye it. The fact that it's not there is more of a problem.
Leave aside Andy's jabs about your weight. If you dye your hair, you'll look 15 years younger. That's RJ in Vegas. And is it amazing that he still finds, even when I'm making fun of myself, he still finds a way to get an extra jab in. And somehow when it's all over, he looks at me like he's hurt. Like I'm somehow offending him.
I'm never hurt.
I don't know how that happens, Tom. You've been mad at me for 2 days.
What do you mean?
You've been mad at me ever since I was not directly looking at you when you were talking to me yesterday.
That's the most storm out
of the room.
That's the one thing you do.
But I can listen and look at something else at the same time. It's just like I was arguing with you yesterday on a TV
show.
Just
like right now.
And
I'm
I was looking
TV
the total opposite direction.
Listen,
I'm used to that.
Lisa and Mary, you guys are done. I should point out that I was just about to say you were just doing it again. I was just about to say, Andy, he's doing that thing that you hate so much because he was talking and you were sitting there laughing at the computer screen.
Well, I mean, I do have a reason to do it right now, no? Otherwise, we end up like Fred. And
tick, tick, tick.
We have no rhyme or reason to the
emails. Funny that you brought that up because I was just about to say it.
I just think it's funny that you acknowledged this morning that your belly looked bad on the thing with B-Lo, and he said, you're skinny, you just need to color your hair.
Well, he didn't exactly say I was skinny. He said my weight is not the problem, it's the hair. And a lot of people actually have told me I should try to diet.
I think you should, too.
I don't agree.
I actually
I'm the least vain person on the planet. What do I care?
Yeah, you're already married.
Who am I trying to impress?
But
my mother actually thinks I should dye my hair for all the TV stuff.
I was going to say, what if some guy from ESPN was watching and goes, you know what, he's good, but... You know, I don't really like his look.
Let's just Let's just jump back into the stratosphere that we live in and really try to attack what you just said. Do you honestly think I have a TV presence that ESPN would say we need to get that
guy?
No, but
it's not what I think. It's what a guy.
Please.
You only need one guy to give you a chance.
But that's
it's sort of like will the Michael Vick ever play again? If one guy gives him a chance, yes, you could be the Michael Vick of broadcasters.
You know what?
It's sort of like
that's very nice of you to even suggest that would be.
But do you even get tempted? Because there are a lot of commercials. Like I heard one yesterday.
I'm sure I could do it easily.
With some laser that stops the loss of hair and regenerates in 90% of men.
Oh, you're talking about now getting the hair added to my head?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's another thing. My cousin, who my whole life growing up, I had a cousin who owns a hair salon. Who cut my hair? No, that's where I go now. But
you don't go to your cousin's?
She doesn't have it anymore.
Oh.
But she had the whole thing, like, before, like, all this Rogaine crap came out and all these other things.
With minoxidil?
There was stuff that she made me take home when I was probably about, I don't know, I was a teenager, and it was clear that...
You were going bald as a teenager?
No, but you could tell that I had very thin hair, and it was going to happen.
Really?
And she told me... Gary's just shaking his head in there. And I agree with him. Anyway, even at that age, I was like, I really don't care that much. If it happens, it happens. I looked at my father, I looked at my grandfather, I knew it was inevitable. There was nothing I was going to do.
So what was your mother's father?
My grandfather would be.
That's why I'm a little worried for young Jackson. Dieter's dad was bald as could be.
Yeah, he was. That's true.
And young Jackson has receding hairline at age 4.5 months.
It's unbelievable.
I'm a little worried about it. If it doesn't grow in, he's going to look funny.
All right, Matt is in Springfield.
Kids will be making fun of him.
I'm beat up. Tom, I'm making an attempt to move on. I know how much you hate the non-football aspects of this show, so I'm trying to move
on. How long you were going on for.
Let's be honest. Non-sports is part of the world. I'm watching ESPN right now, and Hank Williams Jr. is on, and it's all about music. It's the way it is. It's entertainment these days, and darn entertaining.
Is it about Paul coloring his hair?
People care. This is
I gotta tell you,
radio.
I think that's more entertaining than listening to Hank Williams.
Let's be honest. If you had like a major problem, sorry, I didn't mean to say major. But if you like, if there was always like
have
a commercial,
have you ever seen my nose?
No, but if there was a commercial every day on the radio that said, "Got a big nose? Call 1-800-NOSE-SHRINK."
That's a very good analogy. If you could have your nose fixed for.
Like with not surgery
bucks.
Or just like
50 bucks and no pain.
I don't think he should color his hair. I don't understand.
So it wouldn't
point.
Bother you? I think it would bother me. I think I'd be tempted to pull out my cell phone and call 1-800.
I'm like Paul. I'm married. It's over. Why would I change?
But I
now?
Felt like this even before I was married. Well, I didn't really have all this gray hair before I was married either. But what are you going to do?
Blaming that on Beth?
No, I'm going to blame it on the 5 years that have ensued since I've been married.
I just don't want to get too fat because I always want to believe that 18-year-old girls are looking at me.
They're not.
I know.
All right, Matt is in Springfield.
28-year-old girls aren't looking at you.
No girls are looking at me, and I know it. That's why I don't care. I'm 40.
I just want to think.
It's all over.
It gets me through the day.
39. Close enough. Enough is enough. That's very
was
appropriate.
Was that for this?
I'm sick of this Jets nonsense. I've seen that Ricochet Caldwell recently visited. I took a shot in the dark that I once knew Ricochet was cut. That once I knew Ricochet was cut, the first place he would at least visit is New York. The man genie is probably giving him hits of crack for info on the latest tweaks of the Pats playbook.
Didn't he get that from Bill?
Making his eyes even wider, maybe to the point
don't
where they're falling out of
Fred
his
Reed
sockets.
That's inappropriate.
Then has to put them back in. He can't even write. I mean, he writes all in numbers, and it's like I'm reading like a 15-year-old girl is writing.
Instant message.
And let me just say this. If Mangini learned how to do this, he learned it from Belichick, who signed Jonathan Smith 5 days before the opener against Buffalo
and
last year.
Cut him the day
and then
before.
Cut him the day before the game. So,
and that was Buffalo.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
A team he could have just lined up and killed.
He did the same thing last year. So for you know,
and he probably learned it from Parcells. I don't recall, but I'm sure Parcells.
Stay out of the glass houses when you're talking about that. Another Rodney email here from Benjamin. I felt compelled to write in this week about Rodney. You guys are right on. He cheated and he was wrong to do it. Period. The excuses of injury recovery and it only being HGH are bull. How is recovering from an injury faster not a competitive edge?
Question: can I throw my little thing in here?
Sure.
Now, I understand it's illegal, but I pose this to you guys upstairs. Is it a competitive edge when we see guys who are sick or under the weather get IVs at halftime? Now, I know they're not illegal, so that's obviously a huge difference.
No.
But
no.
That's a competitive advantage, isn't it? So isn't
but not if it's open to everybody.
That one of the great... Well,
no, because you're still sick. You're getting fluids put in, but you still have that cold. If that
but he still will always have the knee injury. It's just it helped him come back faster.
No, I don't see it the same way.
Or ibuprofen it helps you get on the field faster.
Now you're talking about semantics and like.
I think it's kind of a gray area. I don't think.
That's
I believe 100% that Rodney Harrison cheated.
When I take an IV, it's not making me stronger.
But it is. To some degree. Not, like, ridiculous, but it's increasing your present strength.
I don't agree with that at all.
I think
it's different.
It is different, obviously, but I think there are
some opinion.
Gray areas involved.
I'm not with you today. I don't like that stupid website, and I think you're off your nut on this.
But it's very rare, too, by the way, that he's not with you.
And like, you haven't even really been that funny.
It's a tough day.
How is it only being HGH even sensible? HGH is tailor-made. Is the tailor-made drug out there right now?
Exactly.
It used to be...
Well,
there's
probably another we've never even heard of that's actually
like Germany. Is it Dianabol? Yeah. Is that D-ball?
Yeah.
Is that D-balls. Dianabol?
But there's a couple of them.
Okay, it used to be D-ball and Nandrolone. I don't know how to pronounce all these things. I should have left that
either.
To you guys. Now it's HGH. We are in the steroid era of all sports, and this type of event has become and will continue to be all too common.
Yep.
My question is, how do you think this his team leadership will be affected? I think the majority of players take
not a captain.
Majority of players take an us against the world approach and feel like most of the NFL fans, that is, don't understand the pressure and demands of the NFL and thus tend to understand, if not outright ignore, the abuse. What do you think the ramifications of this will be for him inside the house, if there are any at all? And that's Ben from Pembroke, Mass.
What
do you think? Does this affect anybody in the... I don't think it really has any
no,
effect.
Except for Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that has been outspoken as about cheaters in the past. With
that's the only reason why we bring Vrabel out. He hasn't talked about it.
Right.
No.
But he had, you know, he's been very outspoken in the past. Luis Castillo.
I don't think those two are going to be like not talking in the locker room for 4 weeks.
I don't know.
You get to a larger question there. How much do players know? Is this hush hush? No one knows about anybody else? Or do they all know what's going on? Who does it? Who doesn't do it? Who does what? I mean, Jose Canseco knew every guy he was with that did it,
right.
And helped do it, and explain. So,
and they get it together. And
I'm guessing there's probably some sort of, to some degree, subculture of guys that know who's doing it.
The conversation is more like this: they don't know about me, do they?
Right.
That's probably the conversation.
You didn't sell me out, did you?
The other thing about the steroid era, back in the 70s, it's documented that the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Raiders all had steroid problems on their team. as Andy will point out, it's just the steroids weren't as good back then.
No
so,
question.
And especially, I don't know about baseball and other sports, but in football, this isn't a new thing. This just didn't pop up today.
You're right. It goes back good 30, 40 years.
I want to read this one because he's kind of coming at you guys, all three of us, but you guys specifically, because you definitely know more about this than I do. This is from Arthur. Gentlemen,
I don't think we profess to be experts on this.
No, but you know a lot more
everything
about
that,
than I do.
But everything we know is just like
all.
Sort of from circumstantial yeah. from talking to people. And
but it disturbs me greatly to hear you describe HGH as a, quote, performance-enhancing drug. And especially when you say those who don't know this don't know what they are talking about. Tom, you especially need to get your facts straight.
I have them straight.
Okay, hold on. I am a physician who has to deal with HGH due to its potential for lung side effects. And I have patients who take this hormone, although I have never prescribed it myself. I can tell you that HGH is used medically as replacement therapy for children with GH deficiency and end-stage
right.
HIV infections, although its usefulness here is less clear. Your misstatements regarding HGH are typical of the general public's and media's impression of this hormone. There is good medical literature that indicates that exogenous HGH in subjects who are not deficient, production diminishes as we age, he has in parentheses,
right.
have, and he has this in bold, no effect in muscle mass or in any athletic performance feature. This has been verified by scientific literature. I have included two review articles below that are fairly easy to read, even for Tom.
Wow.
That's the problem with the internet.
Please
you can
do
just
not,
get whatever you want.
Please do not make more misstatements about this hormone, which is not the same as anabolic steroids, which have many effects on muscle mass, weight distribution, injury recovery, cardiac function, personality, hair distribution, etc. I will be happy to discuss HGH and anabolic steroids with you further, including its metabolism, receptor biology, and target organs. You can contact me at the email return address associated with this message, and I would be delighted to come on air with you or at some other time. By the way, in children and teenagers, HGH can have profound effects, especially on height. Ooh, excuse me, height. That was my Peter Brady when my voice is time to change. As an adult, he might as well have taken a placebo for all the effects it has. Please excuse the barbs, Tom, but education will help you a great deal with this.
Well,
his
defense is pretty good.
Then he has the,
well,
the links.
Go, see, now this was
a, I don't care if he's a physician or not. To say that it's already been proven that it helps you heal. I mean, that
right.
all the doctors have said that. So is this the only doctor that doesn't believe that?
Well, but the problem is you can find research and statistics. It's like when we argue
anything.
Football. I can find a number to make it say anything I want to say.
And
there's research, I'm sure, that says it doesn't do anything. But there's also plenty of research and plenty of doctors who believe it does a heck of a lot.
And I have my own research, and I was saving this for an email just like this. Last night I called an old associate of mine who I knew took steroids for many years, and I said to myself, I wonder if he's gone up to the next level. Well, he has. And I asked him about HGH, and he said, there's no comparison. This is a guy who does bench pressing competitions. He's a guy who's done shows, bodybuilding shows. And this person takes HGH to get stronger, to look better, and to get a competitive edge in his sports. And I don't think he'd be paying $1,000 a cycle
right.
if it wasn't helping.
And
so
it's not just him. I don't
it's
think
not just him.
Thousands of athletes will be paying that.
I know you're a physician and you give these at different doses to help different things, but when taken a certain way, they absolutely help you get bigger, stronger, faster, and everything. And
right.
I'm sorry, but you are absolutely wrong.
I mean, I respect the guy's obvious education. He's a physician, whatever. He has the credentials to back it up. But I will say that I thought there was one part of his explanation that I found a hole in, is the fact that he doesn't actually have a patient that he does it
right.
with.
Right.
So how do you know what the ramifications are?
But we're also, no one's arguing
that
there's...
I can get you medical journals to say steroids should be legal.
Right.
I'll tell you how it's been described.
There's plenty of doctors that believe
that. I'll tell you how it was described to me by somebody. HGH is steroids on steroids.
Right.
That's
yes.
how it was described to me.
Right.
My friend said, he said, imagine if you took vitamins. He said, you know the one a day, the vitamins that really work? That's the HGH and the Flintstones vitamins. That's now the steroids, the candy.
So, I mean, none of us is going to – I'd be the
well,
first
I certainly
guy to admit.
I'm not going to argue with him on the metabolism and the
and
reciprocators
all,
and whatever
no,
other words he used.
Receptors.
But many,
receptors.
Many people
I thought
use
I did a good
it.
Job reading all that garbage.
But many people use it. Gee, Andy, we were talking about it upstairs. This guy is so off base. People use insulin, the thing I insert into my body every
that's
single day. They use that to get bigger and stronger. Insulin is a growth hormone.
That's what he doesn't understand, I think is maybe a little naive, is that we know all these issues. Steroids have positive uses
yes.
when used for certain individual cases that need them. HGH has it. Insulin. what's it called? Clenbuterol is used as a steroid. A lot of but they find ways to use these and put them to use to build muscle, build strength, recover faster, stack them in different ways. So they might be on an, a certain steroid and HGH. But you're being naive if you don't think that there's thousands of athletes out there paying for it and they're getting nothing. It's just this little white pill that it's helping their mental
placebo.
No, it works.
And when I asked my doctor once, I said, when I first started lifting, I said, I just feel like I'm much stronger than a lot of my friends. I said, does that have anything to do with the insulin? And he said, it very well could.
Right.
Because you take insulin, at their bodies produce the insulin that they need to live on. Yours has more in it a lot of times, and it's probably making you a little stronger,
right,
and it's probably gotten me bigger. Because I am on
right.
insulin. So that's something used medically that you can use to get bigger and stronger. I just I don't buy that argument for a second.
Evidently, last week's show really struck a nerve with a lot of people. It's another
negative nerve?
Yeah, evidently. Last week's show, this is from Nick. I've been listening to your show for about a full year now, and the first half of last week's show was definitely not one of your better shows. Gary, Tom, Andy, and Mr. Toe, please try to do more to cut in when Paul and Fred get into one of their pointless arguments. It was painful to listen to and went on and on and on. Stop the madness. I do have to say that Paul redeemed himself by taking Mr. Toe to task for not giving more in-depth analysis of Stephen Gostkowski's kicking inconsistencies. Thank you, Paul, for cajoling your colleague into saying something besides, quote, he's in a slump.
I know from experience, dude.
He finishes up here. He says, I'm sure you've already made some comments about how Patriots fans are applying a double standard to Rodney Harrison regarding his use of HGH. As an emailer said last week, please understand that us fans are not all alike. Rodney cheated in the same way that Sean Merriman cheated, and there are no excuses for it. Having said that, this event has actually made me more sympathetic to individuals like Merriman and others who have taken a banned substance. While I don't condone the behavior, I have better appreciation of how great the temptation must be. I think a lot of us in the real world would struggle with making the right decision if faced with a similar situation. It will be interesting to see how the rest of football and public opinion outside of New England reacts to Rodney's behavior. Have you gotten a sense what the reaction is so far? I wonder if the dynamic will be similar to the public's reaction to Barry Bonds versus Jason Giambi. Both are athletes who allegedly took steroids, yet one seems to have been forgiven and the other is a pariah. Why do you think the public views the two differently? Do you think Rodney's handling of the issue will affect public opinion outside of New England?
Well, as far as the decision being hard, it wouldn't be hard for me because I would take the steroids or the HGH to stay in the league. I have no problem saying that.
I probably would, too. I mean, I'd never know until you're in that situation because I also think I kind of have a guilty conscience and it would eat at me for a while. But
I do not.
Yes, we know.
But listen, everyone's... It's already been shown that he's not in the same boat as Barry Bonds.
I think there's two things about Bonds that make him the pariah, as Nick used the words. Number one is from a personality standpoint, he's universally regarded as a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Even by his friends.
Outside of San Francisco, everybody in San Francisco loves him. But outside of San Francisco, everybody hates him. Because we don't know him, we've never spoken to him, but every time we see him on TV, he's acting like a jerk.
But no, beyond that, we have people, Jim Leland talked about very openly, I see a lot of the reasons why people hate Barry, he treats people in a certain way. I, he said, have always had a decent relationship with him, but I probably would not like him if I didn't have the relationship I have with him.
Yeah, and
I mean, people that know him closely.
That's a guy who on television screamed and dropped about 27 F-bombs in a 30-second clip on ESPN once about when he was on Pittsburgh and they were together. The second part of it, I think, that condemns Bonds is the fact that he set the record.
Right.
You know, Giambi, I think, was every bit as chastised as Bonds, but it's gone away because he's not about to be the home run king.
Plus, it's gone away because he's dealt with injuries. He hasn't been hitting. If you remember, Jason Giambi's ridden a roller coaster over the last few years. When he's down, people, you know, talk about he's off the juice and they don't really care. Then as soon as he hits, you know, 10 home runs in a month,
back on the
juice. He's clearly found something new to get on. And he's relevant when he hits home runs.
I say that, too. But I think that
it may be true.
There will be more venom toward Giambi if, A, he didn't say he did it, like Andy talked about, and, B, if he was about to hit his 800th home run.
And it's going to be the same with Rodney. If Tom Brady breaks his leg in week one and the Patriots are irrelevant, no one's going to care about Rodney Harrison coming back. But if the Patriots are going 14-2 and Rodney Harrison is laying out Marvin Harrison to win an AFC title game, and then he's laying out Steve Smith with vicious hits, you don't think every single day of PTI and all those shows are going to talk about, what should we do with Rodney Harrison? He's back in the league. He clearly cheated. But if he's irrelevant, he's irrelevant. If he's relevant, people are going to make fun of him and yell about him and discuss
like Merriman in the AFC in the game against the Patriots. He was irrelevant.
He was
irrelevant. He didn't care.
That's when I lost all respect for Sean Merriman. Not when he stuck whatever he stuck in his butter. He stinks.
And what did we say?
He's a bully.
But what did we say when he was absolutely. He was obviously off the juice. He couldn't do anything. That's the way it is. And that's not fair. We were probably being, you know, a little bit over the top and facetious.
Well, obviously, because you don't lose all the results of it.
And that's what's going to be the national response. If he comes out like a house of fire, you know, you talk about the numbers doesn't he have that record for defensive backs, most sacks and interceptions?
Put an asterisk next to it.
How many of them came, you know, who knows? That's the stuff that's not
or the
necessarily.
Fact that no one cares about that record.
It's not necessarily. Well,
it's not like the home run record.
Of course it's not. It's not anywhere near that, but. That's
like yesterday. I heard for like the 700th time. You know, it's different because baseball is all about its records. You know, football, they have some great records. Dan Marino's touchdown record. Or that was broken 2 years ago and no one knows about it yet.
Well, they're talking about the...
No, single season, the guy said.
Okay, well, that's just...
No one cares because it's not the record anymore.
All right, Craig in South Carolina is checking in. We heard from him earlier. But now he's in print. With Rodney
he
and Richard...
He should be a commercial for, like, Comcast or bundling, because he uses the internet, then he calls us in.
Yeah, what is that? How do they call it? Television phoning or something like that?
Andy, you're full of crap.
That's true.
With Rodney and Richard missing time, we may not get off to an awesome start, but I think we will finish the first six games with a record of no worse than...
5-1.
4-2. We may end up 6-0, but I think it will be tough to beat San Diego. I am not as familiar with how well... We will play without Seymour because he has only missed 9 games since coming into the league. We will miss him a lot when we play against San Diego. The other guys are going to have to step up, stop the run while still applying pressure to Rivers. I, like many other homers, expect we will have a great season. The Chargers will be critical, as I think having home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs would be a huge edge. We will finish no worse than 13-3. Pats will come out aggressively offensively against the Jets in the first half and play ball control football in the second half. The Jets will have some success running the ball, but will be limited to 13 points. Pats win 27-13.
That's probably a good segue, too. We should probably talk about the game, huh?
Well, I was just going to take a quick little break, Gary. We'll come back, and we will do picks and talk about the Patriots game.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
when you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back with the stretch drive here at PFW in progress. Andy, Paul, and Tom, we're going to go quickly around the league so we give ourselves a little bit of time to actually, you know, discuss the opener and all. The NFL kickoff 2007, right here, tomorrow night. New Orleans Saints travel to Indianapolis.
Well, not really right
to face
here.
The Colts. No, I mean, it's right here. It's upon us. One
it
night
used
away.
To be here, but not anymore.
You remember that?
Back in the day when they won Super Bowls.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? So New Orleans travels to Indy. What you guys say? Do we have a spread?
Six.
So Colts I have to pick
six.
Both. I'll take the Colts to win outright and cover.
I will take the same. Too much offense.
Yeah, I'll make it unanimous. I don't. I have to see that New Orleans defense do something before I pick it against a quality offense like the Colts. So I'll do the same.
Okay, next up, Denver Broncos at Buffalo Bills.
3.5 Broncos are favorite.
Broncos by 3.5. I will take the Broncos both ways because they are one of my AFC teams to watch this year.
I'm split on this game. I don't know why, but sometimes the Broncos start out a little slow under Shanahan. I'm going to go with the Broncos to win and take the 3.5 and hope is close.
And hope.
I'm going to go with the Broncos both ways. I just think Buffalo is one of those teams that's they're like the 80s version of the Washington Bullets. I think they're spinning their wheels. They're going to be forever mediocre.
All right. Next up, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns.
4.5.
Steelers by 4.5. I will take the Steelers both ways. Sorry, Romeo.
I'll take the Steelers, but I like the Browns with the points. I think it's another close game, home underdog. Got to love those on opening day.
I'm going to go with an upset. I'm going to take Cleveland, obviously, to win outright both ways. I don't know why. I don't really have anything to base it on. I'm not sold on Pittsburgh. I know that they're the chic pick so far in the early going for the preseason, but I'm going to go with an upset, Cleveland.
Next up, Philadelphia Eagles at the Green Bay Packers.
Eagles are 3.
I'll take the Eagles both ways. They win at Lambeau.
Another home underdog, but I ain't taking this one. I'll take the Eagles minus the 3.
Yeah, me too. That's my I don't like the Packers. I think the Packers are one of the 3 worst teams in football.
Next, we have Damon Heward's Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Houston to take on the Texans.
Houston's 3.
Houston's favored by 3, huh? Okay, I will take Houston both ways.
Yes, I will take the Texans. Just need to slow down Larry Johnson a little bit, but it's a dog game.
Yeah.
No, none of you guys, I'm going to take Houston both ways. None of you guys think Schaub can make a difference there? Or you still think,
he'll make a positive
still think
difference.
They're a dog team?
No, I think they could win like 7 games. I think they're probably a year away from really competing for the playoffs.
Without him, that would probably be a really dismal game. I think they've made some strides forward, but Amon Green clearly has no more big play ability. We saw that. I think they'll be better, but middle of the road kind of better.
Defense still needs to get a little tighter there.
Yeah. Up next, Tennessee Titans, Tom's team to pick in the AFC at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are now David Garrard's squad.
Jacksonville 6.5.
Jacksonville by 6.5. I'll take the Jags to win, but not cover. David Garrard, I think, stinks. That team going nowhere. Jack Del Rio out. Luckily, they play a terrible Tennessee Titans team. A lot of tease.
Well, I agree with everything Andy said until the end. I'm going to take the Titans to win here, not just because I like them. I'm totally off Jacksonville. I think they have a lot of problems there, and it shows up week 1.
Yeah, I picked Jacksonville in the paper, but that was before I knew about the Leftwich situation. I'm going to take Tennessee outright. I don't think anything of David Garrard.
I don't either. But I think even less of the Tennessee Titans as a team.
No.
Still a lot of tees. Atlanta Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings are 3.
Vikings by 3. I will take the Falcons on the road. They rally. They come together as a unit. And as I often do in the preseason, Joey Harrington made the best throw I saw this preseason. So I'm going to say he's going to do an okay job and lead the Falcons to victory.
Well, anytime the Vikings are on the right hand of the paper, meaning that they're favorites, I ain't touching that at all because I think they are terrible.
Oh,
and
I picked against Tavares Jackson.
Yeah, you picked. And as my friend who gambles a lot said to me this week, I'm telling you the Falcons are better without Vic at quarterback. So I'm going with
probably
the Falcons.
Probably are.
Yeah, I'm going to Atlanta as well.
All right, I'm going to skip the next game because it's the New England Patriots at the New York Jets.
Let's go quickly.
Carolina Panthers at St. Louis Rams. Carolina Panthers, I'll take them.
I'll take the Rams.
You didn't give the spread.
What's the number?
Oh, Carolina's 1.
Carolina, both ways for me.
And you took?
The Rams.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams as well.
You're wrong. Good job. Andy takes the lead early in the season. Miami Dolphins at the Washington Redskins. Another one of Tom Casale's must watch.
Redskins are 3.
I will take the Redskins both ways.
Yeah, this is my shoo-in of the week. I'll take the Redskins all over Trent Green in that offense.
That's
I will make it unanimous.
When Greg Williams smells blood on an opposing quarterback, boy, does he go after it. Remember that game against Drew? Detroit Lions at the Oakland Raiders.
Call.
Raiders are 1.5.
I will take the Lions to win outright. I buy into Rod Marinelli, John Kitna, and the story they're selling me in Detroit.
I have no opinion on this game, so I'll just take the AFC team at home.
Taking the Raiders?
I'm taking Lane Detroit Kiffin? Because Andy told me that Lane Kiffin is overmatched as a coach. So
Chicago Bears at the San Diego Chargers.
Chargers by 5.5.
I will take the Chargers because Rex Grossman is playing for the Bears.
And I'll take the Chargers easy in this game.
Big. 5.5, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take San Diego both ways.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks are 6.
I will take the Seahawks to win, but I'll take the Bucs with the points.
I'll go that way, that route, too. I think Seattle's slightly overrated.
Who'd you take, Andy?
The Seahawks to win, Bucks with the points.
Me too.
I guess I'll make that unanimous as well.
New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys.
Spread 5.5, Cowboys.
I will take the Cowboys to win and cover.
Yeah, for some reason, I just think the Cowboys are going to kill them, so I'll just take Dallas both ways.
Yeah, again, we're unanimous. I don't like the Giants at all. I think they're a terrible team. They might be in the worst 5 teams. I'll expand my little worst teams in the league to 5.
Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals are 3.
I will take the Bengals to come out firing and surprisingly beat up on the Baltimore Ravens.
Agreed. I think the Bengals win rather easy.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati in this game. I have never been a big fan of the Brian Billick Ravens, so I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Another Monday Night Football game. Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers.
I keep forgetting this game exists, but I think it's a 5. I think San Fran is a 5-point favorite here.
I will take the Niners to win, but I'll take the Cardinals with the points. I like what they're doing in the desert.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll go the same way, I guess. I'll take the Niners to win and the Cardinals to cover.
I'm going to take the Niners both ways.
And last, but certainly not least, in the AFC East, your New England Patriots travel to New York to take on the Jets.
6.
6 points. I will take the Patriots to win and cover because they are, after all, the better football team.
I'm going to take the Patriots. I'm going to go with the points with the Jets. I think the game could be within a touchdown just because it's week one. I don't like to lay those kind of points.
And I'm going to take the Pats both ways because I'm a homer.
That was homer, right?
That's correct.
Okay. That was well done by us. Blew through the league in like 8 minutes.
Yeah, I have writer's cramp now, however.
We blew, I'll give you that.
We didn't have time for our usual expert analysis.
Well, I know we're over time here a little bit, but I do want to get to this because our physician friend, Gary, can I do this? Our physician friend emailed, never mind, he just wanted us to call him after the show, which we're not going to do, just to let you know. Anyway, we did get a lot of stuff there. You know, it was
the least of which was the game.
Well, but you know what? There was a lot of stuff to talk about that I felt was more important than us sitting here telling you really what we don't know anyway. We're trying to tell you exactly what's going to happen Sunday and bottom line is no one really knows what's going to happen.
Patriots win 27-10.
Except for that website that Andy Hart is going to now bookmark. So anyway.
I hired a similar website to work for our paper.
We'll have to go find Jake Steele and make sure that he's okay. We will be back next Tuesday. We'll start our
We will.
Our daily. We will see you next Tuesday.